Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air,
to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. That is the fax. You need to get up. Oh, yeah, you need to get to me. We have so much stuff. Ooh, so much stuff. I don't know, y'all. Ooh, I don't know. It's election day. Y'all need to be out there voting. You need to be voting. Here's the thing. Here's my suggestion on voting day. With respect to the school board election, here's what you all need. This is just a suggestion. I'm trying to make certain that our interests are represented on this board. Here's what I would recommend that you do. Vote for one candidate for the school board. City of St. Louis, focus, 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 focus. Other candidates will be taken care of. I ain't worried about other candidates getting elected. What I am worried about is one candidate getting elected, and that would be Mr. Jackson. So don't dilute your vote. Vote for one candidate, and that is David Jackson. Just vote for one. One and be done. Huh, I like that. It rhymes. One and be done. Go in and vote for, of course, Lewis Reed. But when you go into the election board with the school board candidate, vote one and be done. And that would be the number two spot on the ballot, one and be done. That's my advice to you all. This is a critical election. We have to make certain that the candidate, a candidate gets elected on the board that will, that's made promises, that has attended the communities, that has supported the candidates, and that will support the agenda that needs to be engaged in order to bring success to, continuous success to this school district. Vote one and be done, and that would be the number two spot. The number two spot. His last name is Jackson, David Jackson. My name is Liz Brown. If you can believe it, if you think that there's room for it, more bad news for the Bush administration. It just never ends. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
The St. Louis Art Museum presents Family Sunday from 1 to 4. This Sunday's theme is Art Naturally, as we explore artworks inspired by Mother Nature. A gallery walk will take place from 2:30 to 3. Meet at the Sculpture Hall. Admission is free. To find out more, call 314-721-0072 or visit slam.org. News for families from AM 920.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
The award-winning wake-up call, analyzing the story shaping your world.
Together, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up, get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. Oh, my goodness, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I don't know. It's election day, folks. You need to get out there. You need to get out. You need to. St. Louis School Board, there's a critical race going on. Riverview Garden School Board, there's a critical race going on. You need to get out and you need to vote. It is imperative that you get out there and you vote. In the St. Louis Public Schools, pick one and be done. Pick number two on your ballot for school board. Candidate, pick one and be done. Everything else will take care of itself. Don't worry about it. Pick one and be done, and that would be the number two spot. The number two spot on the ballot. His name is David Jackson. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Bobby Smalls would be one of the candidates out in Riverview Garden. It's time to make some changes out here, folks. It's interesting to be part of the to be in Boy George's shoes, in his space right now. You want to know how bad is it for Boy George and Dick shoots your friend in the face and the heart, Cheney?
How bad is it, Liz?
Well, if you can't get no love in Provo, Utah, so red that it's red meat state. Okay, Provo, Utah. And at one of the most red meat, red universities in the country, Brigham Young University, the students there are demanding that the invitation to Dick shoot your friend in the face and the heart, Cheney, be rescinded. They don't want to hear Dick Cheney. Ouch. If you can't get no love as a super conservative in Utah, baby, it's time to Katie bar the door, turn the lights off, stick a fork in it. She's a done. It's truth. Critics at the school question whether Dick Cheney sets a good example for graduates. Huh? In Utah? They're saying Dick Cheney's not a good example? The university, which is owned by the Mormon Church, has a heavy emphasis on personal honesty and integrity. Cheney just doesn't measure up. Oh, Jesus God. Woo! Woo, that had to hurt! That had to hurt. Brigham Young University in the reddest state, in the reddest city of the reddest state, in the reddest place in America. There are no Democrats in Utah. Let's just be clear. Let's just say it. I mean, ask yourself how many animals have been slaughtered in Utah with Dick Cheney on hunting trips. They're saying in Utah, Dick Cheney doesn't measure up on issues of personal honesty and integrity. Ouch, that had to hurt. When Princeton University's, Princeton University does an annual review of universities and they rate them on alcohol consumption and things like that. And when party schools, you know how they rate Brigham Young University when Princeton rates party schools? Brigham Young is rated as stone cold sober for 9 years in a row. So you can't say they were drunk when they made that assessment about Dick Cheney. They were stone cold sober and they said no. We like honesty and integrity. You're not welcome here. Ouch. And I understand also that Brigham Young is a university where dissent is not something that they do. That is not something that they do. Ooh. Ooh. Brigham Young University forbids people from drinking coffee. Are you hearing me? You can't wear shorts at Brigham Young. The students seldom even stray from sidewalks. In other words, they don't walk on the grass. Huh. Huh. They don't drink coffee. And they're saying no to Dick Cheney. Oh, that's got to hurt. Oh, that's got to hurt. And understand that Utah has consistently supported this administration. They gave Bush his largest margin of victory if any state in 2000 and 2004. 85% of the voters in the county where Brigham Young is located, 85% of the voters picked the Bush-Cheney ticket in 2004. Lord. 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 1-877-920-W. Can't get no love. Can't get no love. You can't. There is dissent at a university that where they don't drink coffee. They don't wear shorts. God knows they don't wear short skirts. They don't walk on the lawn. And they don't want no stinking Dick Cheney. Ouch. Ouch. Well, you want to know how things are changing? You want to know what's going on? You know why? Let me put it this way. Do you know why Brigham Young said that they don't want liars on their campus? Because they have their eyes open. I mean, it's taken them a while. We knew he was a liar before he got in office. But they voted him in. They supported him and took a whole lot. Think about what it takes for them to see him as a liar. But, you know, I guess better late than never. But they're opening their eyes to the same thing that the world is opening. Many people in the world are opening their eyes to. The lies of this administration. The lies of the Republicans. You want to know another lie? All you got to do is go to Baghdad. As John McCain. What is John McCain saying about Baghdad and Iraq? Americans are just not, if they knew the full picture of what's happening in Iraq, they would change their mind on their feelings about Iraq. And to prove it, John McCain strolled through an open-air market in Baghdad to prove that it's safe. Now understand, he did this as a photo op to prove to you and me that things are good in Baghdad. Oh, did I mention what he didn't tell you? That he didn't tell you that he was accompanied by 100 American soldiers. He didn't tell you that he also had 3 Black Hawk helicopters. He also didn't tell you that there were 2 Apache gunships overhead. Oh! Did he mention to you as he talked about the safety in Baghdad that he had a bulletproof vest on while he was strolling? John McCain said, quote, there are neighborhoods in Baghdad where you and I could walk through those neighborhoods today. And he told a reporter that his visit to the market was proof that you could indeed walk freely in some areas of Baghdad. I guess so. If you got 100 soldiers, 3 Black Hawk helicopters, and 2 Apache gunships overhead, I guess you could walk any place in the world with that. They're liars. Oh, and did I mention he's running for president to be elected the president of the United States? Well, he's got the lying part down straight. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 70, west of the Poplar Street Bridge and Memorial Drive. Look for stop traffic due to the fact that the westbound 70 is closed. Also, the west ramp to westbound 70 from westbound 5570 is closed. You can detour at Memorial Drive. This is due to police activity. Eastbound 70 from Broadway through 70. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident. Left lane's blocked, and that's police are at the scene of the same incident, or of that incident as well. Northbound 270 at 44 and Doherty Ferry, heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between Maryville and Mason Road, then again from Lindbergh through McKnight. Look for slowdowns there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect traffic to be building this hour. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through Graham Hanley. Look for traffic to be spotty at times. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road all the way into 79. Look for traffic to start to build there. It's still moving at the speed limit. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well into landing. Northbound Route 3, you can expect some delays already at the top of that ramp. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to breezy, partly sunny skies this morning with a chance of showers by later this afternoon with a high in the mid-70s. Storms may be severe. Temperatures will be falling this afternoon. Breezy conditions this evening, much colder, mostly cloudy in the evening, partly cloudy overnight, low in the upper 30s. And for Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high only around 50. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. Then on Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have some clouds and 65 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, more riveting radio with Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton. For AM 920 WGNU, your station with the issues that matter most to you.
Hey, St. Louis, this is Syl Wilson. Be sure and tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for The Real Deal with Syl. We'll talk about what I want to talk about, then we can talk about what you want to talk about, then we can talk about what I want to talk about again. So be sure and tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for The Real Deal with Syl. See you then.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big-boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m. The monkey pulled the frog,
broke the motor, jumped the gun, and did not... This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Son, what you don't understand, my words might never explain, so I am hoping that I will. Things may not go as you planned. Dark clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you don't look down. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground.
And if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling almost at the speed of sound, feeling nowhere bound, remember what I told you and don't you dare look down.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name, my name, my name, say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. Today is election day. You need to get up. You need to go out there and vote. In the St. Louis public schools, you know, the thing that matters most is the election in the St. Louis public schools. Let's be clear. Vote one and be done. Check off Jackson's name and walk on out. You're done. That's number two. He's in the number two spot. He's number two spot. Check him and be done with it. Check him and be done with it. Oh, it's important. It is critical. It is critical. It is critical. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My name is Liz Brown. Bobby Smalls is the person in the Riverview Gardens that you need to be looking for. If you're in Riverview Gardens School District, that's the name that you need to get out and vote on. And I want you to know how bad they want to take this election. There was a mailing that went out for Bobby Smalls. $1,500 worth of a mailing that went out. And guess what? None of the stuff has been delivered. None of the stuff has been delivered. Oh, we've got much business. Much business. Y'all need to get up. Go get your friends. Get up. Go out and vote. This is a critical, critical, critical election. 1-877-920-WGNU. It's election day. And let me know, I want you all to be letting me know what you're finding when you get to your polling places today. I need to know what you're finding when you get to your polling places today, this morning, because this is a critical election. 1-877-920-WGNU. Whew. Can you believe it? This has been an amazing year. We just need to, we need to keep it going. 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 Let's get it done this election. 1-877-920-WGNU. Elmer?
Yes?
Yes, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning, Liz. I was calling to see who we're supposed to vote for this school board. It's,
number two. Are you in the city? Are you in the city?
Yeah, number two, and who else? We're voting for two out of this.
Here's the thing. My concern is that the one person that we need won't get in. So rather than split any votes, I'm saying just vote for one.
Don't vote for a second person.
Nope. Just vote for the Jackson. He's the number two on the thing, and be done with it.
That way,
all of our votes are focused.
All righty.
You feel me on that?
I feel you.
All right, now.
Thank you very much.
Take care now. Wait a minute. Have you been to your voting place yet?
I'm working in a polling place.
All right, now. Thanks for your call.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Martha.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Just want to talk about, tell all my friends and buddies and everybody, you must vote today. No, don't stay at home. Talk about my vote won't count. State has taken it over. No excuses. We must, for those children who was down there week before last and all the children that's coming after them. We must keep it up.
That's fact.
It's a struggle because the powers to be, I mean, your vote, they watch the numbers. Please, the numbers, they are watching the numbers. So please come out and vote. I want to thank Alderman Troop for coming over in my neighborhood yesterday, and he brought the Department of Forestry people from the mayor's office to help one of my neighbors with her home.
Wait a minute, so, are you aware of any meetings by your state rep, Talib El-Amin? Has he held any meetings since he's been elected?
I have talked to him. It's been very problematic.
I'm just asking, have there been any meetings since
he's been? I'm saying it's been with me. I've been calling. We have not seen him.
All right.
This has been a big problem with me.
I understand. I am shocked.
Well,
I am shocked and disappointed that there hasn't been a single meeting since his election. I've seen him in the paper a lot, but I haven't heard any meetings that he's had.
I have not seen him for our block meeting or anything.
All right now.
And I have talked to him about this.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
All
very
right.
Very personal.
Okay, but that showed him it doesn't matter, does it?
It hurts.
All right.
It hurts.
All right now, and it should. That's an unacceptable, irresponsible behavior. So you just there for the cameras as opposed to the constituents that put you there. It's okay. There are elections coming up every 2 years.
Oh, it hurts.
Every 2 years. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. We have much business to tend to. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Today's election day. Punch one and be done. We're talking about the city school board election. All you got to do is just punch David Jackson's. He's number two on the ballot, and be done with it. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. And don't forget, it's election day. Do not forget, it is election day. You're on the wake-up call.
Oh, good morning, Liz. How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Okay. I understand that Antonio Beaver was released based on DNA evidence and was compensated to his time in prison. My question is this. Why is he compensated for having a family broken up because of his imprisonment? I always felt that it's never at the compensation he's getting right now, it's never enough.
I agree. There's not enough money, is there?
No, ma'am. Is there going to be some type of, what is it called, a moratorium about the innocent being wrongly?
You're breaking up on me, Michael. I'm not understanding what you're saying.
There's going to be some sort of forum. About the compensation of the wrongly imprisoned.
I'm not aware of one. I think that's a good idea, though.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. After a heavily guarded trip to a Baghdad market, Senator John, I want to be President McCain, insisted that a U.S. Iraqi security crackdown in the Capitol was working. Americans are not getting the full picture of the progress. Shortly after McCain's visit, the AP was reporting that six soldiers were killed in a roadside bombing southwest of Baghdad. Oops. And you know what? Maybe John McCain is doing something unintentionally telling the truth. We're not getting the full picture. There are a whole lot more soldiers that have died in Iraq. There are a whole lot more people that are dying in Iraq. We are not being told about how bad it really is. Maybe John McCain did stumble onto the truth unintentionally, because that's certainly not a place he wants to be. Huh. John McCain figured, what are the possibilities of this? He was combative during the news conference, refusing to respond to a question about whether the U.S. had plans to attack Iraq. He also replied testily to a question about remarks that he had made in the United States that it was safe to walk in some streets in Baghdad. There are things that are better. There are some encouraging signs. I've been there. Never have I been able to drive from the airport. I've never been able to go out in the city as I was today. I'm not saying mission accomplished or last throws, but I believe the signs are encouraging. I guess so. If you have a flap jacket on and helicopters and gunships and all that kind of stuff, 100 soldiers with you, I guess it is. Maybe you can't see because you have too many soldiers surrounding you to protect you. Maybe that's why you can't see. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Previously on the Lone Ranger program.
I will tell you the advice that a wise woman once gave to me for women looking for a good man. First, you find a dependable, hardworking man who's helpful around the house. Second, you find a loving man who will spoil you and take care of you and never lie to you. And third, you find a thoughtful man who can make you laugh. And most important of all, you make sure these three men never meet each other.
Oh, that's great.
The Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
I have an asthma attack. I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes. But really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Hello, my name is Pamela Smith, and I'm a parent of two children who attend schools in the Riverview Garden School District. Building a future for our children is important. Therefore, on April 3rd, I will be looking for someone who understands the importance of quality teachers in making schools both accountable and effective. I will be casting my vote for Bobby Small and Janetta Thomas.
Paid for by the citizens to elect Small and Thomas. Kevin Thomas, Treasurer.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Democrats are starting to get a little bit emboldened. Yes, they are. Democrats are starting to get a little bit emboldened. Oh, it's getting good to some of them out here, huh? It's getting good. They're fixing to challenge the White House on the unionization of airport security workers? Really? They're going to challenge some of challenge George W. Bush on the loosening of the secrecy orders? Huh? And the pressure from the firing of these 8 Republican U.S. attorneys and the conduct of the Iraq war and the abuses of the government surveillance by the FBI, it doesn't look like it's going to get any more comfortable, that it's going to get comfortable at all for Boy George. Apparently they're going to try to quickly close the Guantanamo Bay prison, reinstate legal rights for terrorism suspects. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said, "I suppose there's always a risk of going too far, but the risk of not going is far greater." Ouch. Democrats are starting to feel so emboldened that, maybe there's not any territory that we can go after, you think? Republicans are saying, well, you know, you risk ticking off America, the American public, because if you go too far, And here's the thing that you're going to see, boys and girls. You're going to see a great revealing. For those of you that have been distracted, haven't been really paying that much attention, haven't really gotten it because things have been okay for you, but now that things are not okay for you, you're starting to pay attention. I welcome you all to crystal clear vision on what is happening in your country politically. I welcome you all to the journey towards crystal clarity. One of the great revealing moments that's going to occur is when you see what Bill Clinton really has done. This middle ground that has laid the groundwork, quite frankly, for the situation that we find ourselves in right now. Now is the time for Democrats to really speak to the American people. We don't feel safe out here. We don't feel safer as a result of our liberties being taken away. Things are not better as a result of this administration and their ideology taking residence in the White House. We don't feel safer. We are not safer. There's time for a change, and it is time for a dramatic change. And quite frankly, if the American people took what Bush had to give them, they will take too easily the undoing of the Bush stuff. But you will hear people like Leon Panetta, who was a White House top aide. He said, "I'm urging Democrats to stick to their turf. Don't overreach. If they go into total confrontation mode on these other things, where they just pass bills and the president vetoes them, that's a recipe for losing seats in the next election." They the same folks that were telling folks the only way Democrats can get elected is if they play non-committal on the war. Even though Leon Panetta is saying, don't move fast out there. Go slow. Even the most conservative Democrats insist that their party is in no danger of overreaching its mandate from the November election. Representative Barron P. Hill from Indiana, a conservative Democrat who squeaked out a victory against a Republican, the Republican who had taken the seat from him 2 years early, said he was concerned early on that the Democrats would mount a witch hunt, but he said that they are far from any witch hunts going on. Remember, the Democrats passed a bill that would require the government to negotiate prices for prescription drugs. That's a big deal. It's not all that they should be doing, but it's a big deal. And what's coming down the pike is this whole Vietnam. Isn't that funny? Vietnam. This whole Iraq war thing. Isn't that something? Vietnam War. Just came on out, and I guess it's because it's the same thing, only worse. Because remember, when we left Vietnam, the whole world wasn't ticked off at us. When we left Vietnam, we were not in a debt that we're in right now. The whole world didn't hate us when we stumbled crawling out of Vietnam. How does the world look at us now? So the Democrats and the Republicans have said, okay, and some Republicans have said, okay, we want a time certain. We want to get the heck out of Dodge. So the legislation, that legislation will come down to a throwdown between Boy George and this Congress. One 877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Bob.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Let me, my button here. You caught me too quick. You know, I listen to what is going on. I say I'm not going to keep up with who's running for office. But in listening to this stuff, if the Democrats can't pick off 9 more Republicans, as bad as this situation is, to pass these bills that they're trying to get through, I think the Republican voters out there are anxious to go along with what the Democrats are trying to do.
Well, I guess proof of that for me, Bob, is that if you do a Google search now and you search a lot of these Republican conservative websites, and blogs, you know what word is starting to disappear? Republican.
Yeah, not even conservative.
No, they're sticking to the conservative piece, but the word Republican is starting to disappear.
Well, it needs to disappear because I just can't see how that those people that are going to run for office, those 26 senators especially, who are going to run in the next election, can keep telling their people that we don't care what you say. We're going to stick with George Bush because he is right and everybody else is wrong.
If the Democrats can't, there are 21 Republican Senate seats that are up for re-election in 2008. There are only 6 Democratic seats that are up.
Yes.
So if the Democrats can't hold on to their 6 and pick off at least 5 or 6 or 7 of those Senate seats, then what good are they? Because the fact of the matter is that in a way you kind of feel a little bad for those Republicans out there because they really don't have it. They don't even have a rock or a hard place.
I don't think I could feel bad for them the way they have treated
everybody the last
6 years.
Fair enough.
And the quiet part that you don't hear. Here, like we were talking about, the company is going to lay off people so they can hire somebody else.
That's right.
They work less. We're not even hearing that. That isn't even in the the big thing about China, they're going to ship their goods now into Mexico so they can bring them up in trucks through the United States and all over United States up to Canada.
Tear up our roads.
Mexican drivers, and we added 22 feet. To the trucks.
And what about the damage that will do to our roads?
To our roads, to our traffic, to people driving.
That's
it's going
right.
to be awful.
Thanks.
Thank you, Liz.
Thanks, Bob. Listen, folks, don't forget, it is election day today. Get out there and vote. Get out there and vote. Don't let them tell you that it doesn't matter for this election, that the school board has no authority. Of course they do. Of course they do and they will. But you have to get out there and vote. Go vote today. When you get to the polls, all you got to do is just punch one. Just go to punch one and it's done. We're talking about go to number 2, look for the name David Jackson, punch that. Even though they say look for 2, just punch the 1. We need to make sure he gets in there. The others will take care of themselves. Go for David Jackson, punch 1 and you're done. He's number 2 on the ballot. And if you live in Riverview Gardens, you're looking for Bobby Smalls on the ballot. We have much business to tend to, folks. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
the progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this
stand? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
Shall we say to all in this nation who dare to...
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It looks like Britain is losing patience with Iran, which has now held 15 servicemen and women for more than a week. ABC's Linda Albanese details from London.
Britain's Tony Blair says the next 48 hours are fairly critical to resolving the standoff with Iran over the capture of 15 British Royal Navy personnel. But the Prime Minister warned that while the door to diplomacy is open, it won't stay that way forever.
If that's not possible, then we have to take an increasingly tougher position.
A top Iranian official says he believes the crisis can be solved through diplomacy and that putting the crew on trial is not a priority. And Iran's hardline president has put off a scheduled news conference. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
Hillary Clinton is still the presidential candidate to beat, at least when it comes to fundraising, but Mitt Romney isn't far behind. The former Massachusetts governor beat his Republican competition with $23 million. That's well ahead of John McCain or Rudy Giuliani. He says he's not surprised. He says it all comes down to American values. He says people can recognize what his life has been, and they say it resonates with them. Senator Clinton, by the way, has raised about $26 million. The death toll is up to 28 in this week's earthquake and tsunami in the Solomon Islands. Officials expect that number to rise significantly as more missing people are found. This woman lost her father in the tragedy.
The earthquake happened. Somehow the house collapsed, and as Dad was trying to help get people out of the house, that must have been when the tsunami came and swept him out to sea.
International relief agencies are beginning to get into the rubble and get aid to survivors of the storms. Did you pick Florida in your pool? If you did, you won. This guy apparently did.
The Gator Nation is everywhere!
Yeah, the Gator Nation is everywhere in men's college sports. The Gators are the men's NCAA basketball champions for the second year in a row. They beat Ohio State 84-75 last night. Florida also beat the Buckeyes for the national football title back in January. This is ABC News.
My boys are boys. They got me out there at quarterback, so I got a pain reliever for my sore joints. They even had me join their own little band. So I had to get a headache medicine, too. Different pains, different pain relievers. But not anymore. Today, I'm all Advil. Advil is my every pain reliever. Works wherever I hurt. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. So whatever hurts, I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
I love football. I've always wanted to do sports broadcasting. Ah, that would be such a cool job to have.
You've always wanted to know who's on Match.com, and we want you to know it's okay to look.
And he's running down the field. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's at the touchdown. I don't want to do that kind.
Her Match.com username is 2bits12, and you can email her right now. Go ahead. We guarantee if you don't find someone special within 6 months, we'll give you 6 months free. Visit the all-new Match.com for details.
It's a pretty safe assumption that this train is going to be on time today. In fact, it even beat the record, traveling nearly 354 miles an hour.
Three double-decker cars between two engines will whiz down a stretch of new line linking Paris to eastern France.
Could be seeing it any moment now.
ABC's Jim Bitterman at a train station in Vendôme, France, saw the last speed record set, 320 miles an hour, in 1990.
That's more than 300 miles an hour. Already it's gone 319.
So fast, in case you missed it,
France's high-speed trains are equipped with larger wheels to cover more ground with each rotation and a stronger 25,000-horsepower engine. For more, Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
How'd you like to do downward dog with your dog? The newest trend in mind-body fitness is yoga with your pooch. Studios across the country are starting to offer classes for man and man's best friend, and advocates say it stretches and relaxes both of you. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, police are investigating a stabbing at St. Clair Square. It reportedly took place around 9 o'clock last night. Authorities say that a group of women got into an argument with another woman, leading to the group cornering the other woman and stabbing her. The victim is expected to survive. No arrests have been made. The incident took place just 2 weeks after a shooting inside the Fairview Heights Shopping Center. The battle over a controversial immigration ordinance in Valley Park is continuing. Yesterday, the Valley Park Board of Aldermen failed to override the mayor's decision to keep the city ordinance designed to keep illegal immigrants out of town. The board fell one vote short of the override that would have thrown out the laws. Opponents of the laws say they plan a legal challenge. They won court fights against two previous sets of laws, but Mayor Jeffrey Whitaker insists that illegal immigrants are a problem that Valley Park needs to address. Finally this hour, the Blues put an end to the Stars' four-game winning streak when they won 4-2 last night in Dallas. Glenn Metropolit and Doug White scored in a 17-second span in the second period, and Lee Stempniak notched 2 goals, including an empty netter late in the game. Curtis Sanford stopped 28 shots on the defensive end for the note. St. Louis will miss the postseason for the second straight year. They continue their final road trip of the season in Phoenix tonight against the Coyotes. The puck drops at 9 o'clock. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your forecast as well as your traffic for the 7 o'clock hour. Westbound 70 west of Poplar Street Bridge and Memorial Drive. Look for that to be closed. Also, the ramp from westbound 5570, westbound 70 is closed. You can detour at Memorial due to police activity. Northbound 270 between Clayton and Ledoux, there's a disabled vehicle. It's just south of Ledoux, so expect heavy volume there. Westbound 44 between Big Bend and Lindbergh. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident. 2 lanes are blocked. There's 2 left lanes at Lindbergh. So just use caution and watch where people are stopping at. Northbound 270 at Dorset and 70. Look for an accident. Shoulders blocked. It's at 70. Eastbound 70 from Broadway through 70. Look for eastbound 70 between Broadway and the express lanes. Look for an accident. Left lane's blocked, and police are on the scene of that incident as well. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, and then again from Lindbergh through McKnight. Look for some delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the PSB. Look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway. Look for some delays. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for some slowdowns. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well between the Illinois Bank and the landing. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies, chance of showers and thunderstorms this morning and later this afternoon. Some storms may be severe. The highs will be in the mid-70s, but falling by this afternoon. For this evening, much colder. Breezy, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. For Wednesday, much cooler, partly cloudy, high only around 50. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy, low around 30. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have some scattered clouds and 65 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, more riveting radio with Liz Brown I'm Howard Morton. This is AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to the wake-up call. My name, say my name. My name is Liz Brown. We have much, much, much to talk about. It's election day. It's election day out here. You need to be getting up. You need to be taking your kids. You need to be walking down to the polls. And you need to be voting today. Today is election day. Get out, go out and vote today. We have an incredibly important election going on in St. Louis City, the school board election. It matters. It matters mightily. And I recommend that you go down to the polls. You take your little marker in your hand. You vote. The number two spot on the ballot, that would be David Jackson. Vote for one and then you're done. And of course, Lewis Reed. My goodness, we have much to talk about, much to do, much to tend to. So let's get it done. It is, after all, Election Day. Linda.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm just not a really serious in-depth thing. I just want to know what's your take on the election in Jennings and who are you voting for?
I'm not pulling for Yolanda Henderson at all. Okay. I remember a number of years ago when I was involved in a campaign to, and we almost got the first black elected mayor in the city of Jennings. I remember worked very, very hard in that campaign. We came within a handful of votes to get the first black mayor. And I remember very clearly, very vividly, Yolanda Henderson had the guy who she's running against right now's sign in her yard.
Oh, really?
And we went up to her. You know, black woman with this guy's sign in her yard. You need to support the black guy. Oh no, I'm with this guy. I don't care if he's black.
Oh really?
Yes, she did. I was there, and I will never forget that. So, you know, no,
Did you see the article in the St. Louis American?
Yes, I did. I'm not surprised, given the white editor of the St. Louis American.
But now she's running against him.
Now she's running against him, but she put the white guy's sign in her yard when black people came up. And what is problematic to me, now she wants everybody to go black on her. You know,
so
support her because
she has
she's
a chance of winning it?
You know what? Jennings has people don't turn out to vote. So it'll be very interesting to see. I would hate to see her get it simply because I remember you. I remember you when black folks came to you and asked you to support a black candidate. You defiantly put that guy's white guy's sign in your yard and said, I am not supporting the black guy.
Well,
and
now,
well, pardon? Because now because she wants to win. She didn't switch.
Okay.
She didn't switch. She's saying, I wanted the job. And y'all supposed to go black with me. I remember when you had an opportunity to vote black, you said, no, I'm with the white guy. How dangerous.
Does he troop support her?
Pardon?
Does he troop support her?
Does who support her?
Mr. Troop.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but all I can say is I know from personal experience, from trying to get a black mayor elected in Jennings a few years back, and I remember exactly what Yolanda Henderson said to my face.
Just wanted to know how she stood.
Okay.
I appreciate your input, and you know I value what you say very much.
Thank you so much, Linda.
Have a great day.
Take care of yourself. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Hello, my name is Pamela Smith, and I'm a parent of two children who attend schools in the Riverview Garden School District. Building a future for our children is important. Therefore, on April 3rd, I will be looking for someone who understands the importance of quality teachers in making schools both accountable and effective. I will be casting my vote for Bobby Small and Janetta Thomas.
Paid for by the citizens to elect Small and Thomas, Kevin Thomas, Treasurer.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Revolution here.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. We have a couple of really interesting guests that are going to be joining us this morning on the wake-up call. We're going to be talking to the national director, or the deputy director of Amnesty's Out Front program. This is Amnesty International's movement, and we're going to be talking to them about a man by the name you may not have heard of, Donnie Rise. And we're going to be talking about what happened to Donnie Rise in Honduras in the next hour, or in the actually at the bottom of this hour. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to I want you all to feel empowerment. With these Board of Election races, I want you to feel empowerment as a liberal, empowerment as a progressive. So we're going to have Stephen Ducombe on the show. He is an activist and the author of Dream Reimagining Progressive Politics in the Age of Fantasy. And he's going to be talking about the things that progressives can do to continue and their goals. So you need to join me. That's going to be in the 8 o'clock hour. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. Harry, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Always good to hear from you.
It's good to talk to you.
Good. Friday, I passed some papers off to you. I brought them to the studio. Just want to know if you got them.
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, okay. I did. I had to think for a second because I'm always getting a lot of stuff, so I had to
think. I know you are. That's not why I called. The main reason I called is the school board election. I'll be out there voting. But David Lee is on time.
Okay.
I mean, the brother does his homework.
Yes, he does.
And,
I mean, did you hear him on the show? Did you hear him on the show?
I did.
Okay, he does his homework.
I want
David Lee Jackson. Wait a minute, David Lee.
I tried to look for a copy of that bill. I couldn't pull it up.
Which bill?
The school board, how the states take over.
Oh, okay. Well, if you email me a request, I can send you the link.
Okay.
Okay, if you do that, I can send you the link.
Okay.
Okay, but I think it's it's David Lee Jackson, okay?
David Lee Jackson.
Right. We don't want people to go out there looking for David Lee. David Lee Jackson on the ballot today, and just vote for one person.
Right.
Okay, because we're trying to concentrate our votes to make certain that I'm not worried about another candidate out here getting elected. I'm worried about David Jackson getting elected. All we need is one. So just vote for one. Okay, don't create any possibilities for anybody else except for David.
Got you.
David Jackson, number two on the ballot. God bless you. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want a toll-free long distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We have quite a full day ahead of us. 1-877-920-WGNU. It's election day. Have I said it enough? It's election day. Pass the word on. Pick up the phone. Call somebody you know right now. Okay? Call somebody you know today. Call them and remind them. People lead busy lives. You get distracted. You get into your work. You forget. Call somebody you know today and vote. And tell them to vote. Okay? Call them. Remind them. It's election day. Get out there. Go out there and vote. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. Good news, y'all. I want to congratulate you all. Congratulate you all. Remember Craig Williams? We ran him out of here. What was he getting paid? What was it, Howard? $300,000? $300,000 to run our district? Well, and he was what? He was never a superintendent. They gave him a waiver to muck about in our district. We ran him out of here. And now he is basically a principle, okay, basically a principle of an alternative school. And he went from that, he was a high school coordinator in suburban Washington, D.C. That didn't work out. They had all kinds of student protests and things like that in that district. And now he's come back to closer to us, 3,500 student district on July 1st. This is in Calumet City. That's in Illinois. It's the, the Thomas Fractional North in Calumet City and Thomas Fractional South. So they're not making him a superintendent. He's going to be over 3,000 students. You think he'll screw that up too? How long do you think he'll be there? But congratulations to all of you all. Congratulations, y'all did that. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Election day today. I want you all to feel it, to own it, to get out there and to do it. Election day is today. There are critical races in the St. Louis public schools. Just vote for one person when you walk into the election booth. Just vote for one person, David Jackson, and be done with it. We need to concentrate our votes. Do not concentrate our votes. Don't vote for anybody else. Just concentrate your votes on David Jackson. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. That would be the facts. I don't know. It feels like there's so much going on out here in the world that we're living in. I'm really excited to talk to my guest in the next few minutes. I'm going to be talking to a member of a director within the Amnesty International. And we're going to be talking about an incident that occurred in Honduras to a gay man and what Amnesty International is doing to protect him and others. I'm going to be going to Honduras to have that conversation, so you don't want to miss that. That's going to happen in about 5 minutes here on the wake-up call. And then I'm going to, in the 8 o'clock hour, I'm going to be talking to Stephen Ducombe, the author of Dream, Reimagining Progressive Politics in an Age of Fantasy. He wants to talk about what the left can do to reclaim effective advocacy. They must do it in a way that is influential and ethical. Okay, we'll talk to him about his progressive plan of a dream politic. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. And we're going to take a break here at 1-877-920-WGNU. And when we come back, we will be talking to Ariel Herrera. He is the deputy director of Amnesty's Out Front program, Amnesty International, that is. You don't want to miss that discussion. 1-877-920-WGNU. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for this 7 o'clock hour. Eastbound 364 from Maryland Heights through Bennington Place. Look for an accident. That's at Bennington. Expect traffic to be building. Eastbound 70 from Branch through St. Louis Avenue. Look for a vehicle on fire. That's reported at St. Louis Avenue. Westbound 44 between Big Bend and Lindbergh. Look for an accident. Two lanes are blocked. Two left lanes are at Lindbergh, so expect stop-and-go traffic there. Northbound 270 from Dorset through 70. Look for stop-and-go traffic. The shoulder's blocked with an accident. That's at 70. Northbound 270 at Teston Ferry and Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason. Then again from Lindbergh through McKnight. Expect delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge. Slow traffic, especially in the left lanes. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is looking good at this hour. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. Expect some delays. And then again from Bryan Road back to 79. That's back in St. Charles County. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well from the Illinois Bank into the landing. And eastbound 70 at Broadway and Earth City or at the I-70 Express into Broadway. Look for an accident's been cleared. That's at Walnut. So expect no problems to report there. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies, chance of showers by this afternoon, breezy, mostly cloudy, with a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon as well. Storms may be severe. The highs will be in the mid-70s, but temps will be falling by the afternoon. For this evening, much colder, mostly cloudy in the evening. Partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. Wednesday, much cooler, partly cloudy with a high only around 50. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have scattered clouds, 64 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 65. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. More with Liz on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most.
Previously on the Lone Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show. Weekdays at 5 o'clock. Only on AM 920 WGNU.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That is my phone number, and we have a lot to talk about. One of the things that I think is very, very important is that we continue to keep a connection with what's happening all over, not only this country, but all over the world. And I think it's important for a number of different reasons, but not most important, but I don't know. I think that we just have to do that as to be a good citizen of this earth. And what is it, an injustice to one is an injustice to all. I was talking to our students that sat in not too long ago, that shut down Francis Lay's office and won their battle, part of their battle. That if one of us is chained, none of us are free. So let's talk about something that is happening in Honduras. And we're going to have that conversation with the acting director of Amnesty's Out Front program, Ariel Herrera. Ariel, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm okay. Great.
Very good. Talk to us about Donnie Reyes. Who is he?
Donnie Reyes is the treasurer of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender human rights group in Honduras called Arco Iris, which basically means rainbow. We are currently working on a case involving Donnie, who was arrested by police officers, beaten up, and then was detained. And during that time, it was reported that one of the detaining officers incited the other detainees to then assault Donnie, and so Donnie was reportedly beaten up and raped by the other detainees, as incited by one of the officers.
So, in other words, the police encouraged. It's been reported that's what the police did to those that were already detained along with Donnie, to rape him.
Exactly. And this case in terms of our own research and documentation it's the pattern of intimidation, harassment, abuse, and sometimes extrajudicial killing committed by law enforcement officers in Honduras against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people, particularly. I'm going to use the acronym LGBT, prominent LGBT activists. And we believe that Donnie Reyes was probably targeted for abuse because he is an out and prominent vocal LGBT rights activist for a while now. And as I said, he is the treasurer of the group LGBT human rights group called Arco Iris.
What is Amnesty International? How did Amnesty International come to be in Honduras to work on these issues with the LGBT community?
That's a great question. Well, maybe I should just step back a little bit and tell people a little bit about what Amnesty International is. Amnesty International is a global human rights movement with membership in about 150 countries around the world. We have about 2.2 million members across the world and about 60 offices or sections in about 60 countries. And one of the things that we do is we document human rights abuses in every region in the all across the world, in different countries, in all every region, and then put those records and documentation into action through our membership, who are activists who are committed to these kinds of issues. And so this case came to us through that whole process again of our intensive research and documentation in different parts of the world and through the different connections we have with different activists through the region as well.
So when you talk about legal rights and for gays and lesbians, the LGBT community in Honduras, what is the environment for that? How would you compare it to the United States?
That's a tough question. I'm not sure that we could make any kind of comparative, assessment. But one thing that I could say for a fact is that in terms of our own research and documentation, there's really a disturbing pattern there of human rights abuses. Serious pattern of human rights abuses,
irrespective of sexual orientation.
With respect to targeted at LGBT, people, particularly as I said, human rights activists like Donny Reyes. Over the course of just last several years, we, for example, one of the more recent cases that we worked on, prior to Donny Reyes' case, involved the murder of a transgender woman, a 19-year-old transgender woman, who was shot by a police officer. Apparently, there were two police officers who were looking for sex, and when they encountered I'm trying to remember his name right now. I think it's Erica. Erica was the name of the young transgender woman who was killed by the police. When they found out that Erica was transgender, they got into an argument and shot her and killed her. And one of her colleagues who was witness to the crime, she reported the incident to the police, and because of her testimony, the two officers were apprehended. But what happened was, for some reason, somehow or other, the officer who was indicted for murder managed to escape from custody. Since that time, the witness who provided the testimony that led to the arrest of these two officers had received death threats, and at one point it was reported that police officers actually came to her home and warned her that if she doesn't retract her complaint, and that they will kill her. To make a long story short, it became a very treacherous situation for the other transgender activist who was the witness of the crime, and we issued an action to try to get her some police protection, which was provided to her for a little while, and then was attacked by police officers, and so it became a real danger to, she really was in danger for a while. So through the help of our network of activists, she finally had to leave the country, and with the help of our activists, was able to apply for asylum in Europe, and she is now somewhere in Europe.
But what about her as a witness for this murder?
Well, that's the thing. These two officers apparently are now at large, and were not at all brought to justice.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Ariel Herrera. He is the acting director of Amnesty's Out Front program, joining us from New York. My name is Liz Brown. Don't forget, today is Election Day. Get out there and vote. I'll be back after this. Stay with us.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy.
Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Ballthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelian Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my guest of this hour is Ariel Herrera. He is the acting director of Amnesty's Out Front program, joining us from New York. And Ariel, welcome back.
Thank you.
When we talk about Amnesty and working on these issues for the LGBT community, in Honduras, what legal rights do members of this community have?
Well, I mean, technically, they should have the same rights as everyone else in Honduras. But you know, as is true in pretty much everywhere in the world, because of prejudice and discrimination, LGBT people tend to not be able to enjoy their full rights, and so they're, you know, subjected to all forms of discrimination that range from, say, you know, in work environments, in job situations, to, as I've mentioned, you know, in particular cases where they're victims of, say, human rights abuses. A lot of times that their complaints are not not taken seriously. You know, a lot of these murders are not investigated, and you know, the perpetrators are not brought to justice. In a lot of cases, the law enforcement office, you know, officials themselves or officers themselves are supposed to be protecting people, are the ones who are committing these crimes. You know, I just like to point out that it's not just Amnesty's documentation that, you know, that have cited some of these human rights violations. The UN Special Rapporteur, for example, on extrajudicial execution, has also cited in her report about these types of killings and how, in fact, more often than not, a lot of these cases are not investigated at all.
And when we use the phrase extrajudicial executions, we're talking about things like lynchings, right?
Basically, yeah. I mean, that's a good analogy. But basically, extrajudicial just means that it's out of bounds, out of law.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And can we go back to the case of Donnie Reyes? So when he was detained and beaten and raped by fellow detainees, did he get out? How did he get out?
Well, it's just the peculiarity of the system. But apparently, if people who could pay a bribe. In this particular instance, it amounts to about
$10. About $10.
Yes, are able to get out, and so in Donnie's case, as he was paying bribe, the officer who he was waiting for the officer to pick up his belonging, he was able to run away. And so because of that, then he was able to then report the incident to the public prosecutor, and also he sought medical forensic service to record the violence that he had suffered.
And so even though he had paid this $10 bribe to get out, he was still concerned that he was not going to be let out, or that he was still going to be harmed, so he ran before he was completely processed out.
Right. And in fact, he continued to receive death threats because of his outstanding complaint against the officers.
Was there something where the police department attempted to blockade the department so that he could not file his complaint?
No, because there are two in this particular instance. He filed a complaint in the public prosecutor's office.
Okay.
Not necessarily located in the precinct that we would do it here in the U.S. So. So he was able to file his complaint, so there are still parts of the system that work. So so he was able to file a complaint. But
so what
we have seen subsequent to that is the continued harassment and intimidation of him, and not just him, but in fact the members of the Arco Iris group. Their office had been raided, and even though nothing valuable was stolen, but the documents were taken and destroyed, computers, furniture is destroyed, members of the of Arco Iris had also been threatened, including the former director of Arco Iris, actually, who was also assaulted at one point in the street.
So where do we stand today? Where does Amnesty International stand on in the process of adjudicating or addressing the assault that was and the crimes that were committed against Donnie Reyes?
Well, one of the things that we do is what we do is obviously, first of all, make sure that this types of cases are documented and made public, because I think that's one of the primary steps to educating the public about these types of human rights abuses, and also to expose these kinds of of abuses because I think that a lot of times, you know, officials think that they can get away with it because nobody cares or nobody's looking, and you know, and that nobody knows about these type of things. So that's the first step. And then the second step then for us that we do is we mobilize a membership and use the weight of the organization to put pressure on government officials to do the right thing. And in this particular instance, it's to make sure that to ensure the safety, first of all, of Donna Reyes, and secondly, to make sure that his case is fully and promptly investigated and that the people responsible for this crime are brought to justice. And I think that, you know, it's important to people to remember that, you know, I heard you talking about how it's important for us to care about what's happening out there. It's true, and not just because of what you said, but also because we can make a difference. You know, and I think that one of the fundamental principles of human rights is that, you know, we belong to this human family, and so what happens, you know, we have responsibility for each other's well-being and to ensure that, you know, our rights are protected. So it's essentially saying that, you know, we are a global family, and I think that that's a very powerful message, and so that's what our activists do.
And there is this thing called the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Yes. Yes, that came out of that came out of a historical moment after the Second World War, and people found out about the abuses of the Holocaust, basically the horror of the Holocaust, and at the time, you know, the people were so like the feeling that, you know, we cannot let this happen again. And so a number of countries, the UN was not as big as it is now then, came together and say, okay, we cannot let this happen again. And so came together and put together this beautiful document expressing, you know, the principles of human rights and that, you know, human rights that belong to everybody, the idea that it's inalienable, that the idea that it's universal, the idea that, you know, these human rights are indivisible, the idea that these human rights are interdependent, so that, you know, one right is not more important than the other, and that, you know, these rights often work together to ensure the dignity of the human person and the human being. And so, for example, you know, your right election is impacted by to be able to vote or be able to participate in civil society is impacted very much by your right to access to education and so on. So it's this historical document that I think it's a wonderful document and as an expression of I think principles and aspirations for us. So.
And we only have a few seconds left here. Where can people go to find out more about this case of Donnie Reyes?
They can go to our website, www.amnestyusa.org/outfront. And there's all kinds of information there besides the Donnie Reyes case. It includes all kinds of resources and information and other cases and reports we've done, and you know, so I think it's very useful. It would be very useful. Yeah.
Ariel, thank you so much. Acting Director of Amnesty's Out Front program, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you for having me.
Take care. Have a great day.
You too.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. We've got another good hour coming at you. We're going to talk about a blueprint, if you will, and a new way of doing things for progressives out there, for liberals out there. You don't want to miss this next discussion coming up. My name is Liz Brown. I will be talking to Stephen Ducombe, and he is an activist and author of Dream, Reimagining Progressive Politics in an Age of Fantasy. You don't want to miss that. In the next hour, stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us,
it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Depressed or just stressed out? A new study says it could be tough to tell sometimes, even for the pros.
According to a study in today's Washington Post, up to 25% of people who meet the current criteria for depression may only be reacting normally to stressful events in their lives. Typical depression-like symptoms include sadness, fatigue, insomnia, and suicidal thoughts. But researchers found extended periods of those symptoms are common in people coping with situations like divorce or unemployment. So those symptoms do not necessarily mean the patient is ill.
ABC's David Muir. We'll hear from President Bush later today, and he's not happy. He says the money to fund military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan is running out, and Congress is sitting on its hands.
The White House argues it set up the $100 billion request for Iraq 54 days ago, and that Congress has delayed too long. Money for the current troops would begin running out later this month. Democrats claim there is money enough through the summer.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. One of the candidates who wants Mr. Bush's job is off to a good start in the fundraising area. GOP Mitt Romney has more than $23 million. He's not surprised.
I'm very heartened by the fact that people who've heard my message and have seen me have been willing to part with some money and send it my way. It's giving us a great boost, a great start.
That's more than the two frontrunners in the GOP at this point, Rudy Giuliani and John McCain, but it's still behind Democrat Hillary Clinton, who's raised about $26 million. Another candidate's in, Colorado Congressman Tom Tancredo, is promising to make immigration his primary focus.
When you have that many people living in the country illegally, they put, of course, enormous strains on your social service system, on your educational system, on your prisons, on hospitals and health care.
Tancredo, who is a Republican, announced his campaign in Iowa yesterday. The University of Florida is top reptile in men's college sports. The Gators beat Ohio State 84-75 in the NCAA championship game last night. This is ABC News.
Today on Judge Kathy, a husband, a wife, and V8 100% vegetable juice.
My husband won't eat right.
Anytime I don't eat enough vegetables, she bops me on the forehead like this. And says, could have had a V8.
It's a love tap.
What's a bop?
It was a tap. Order in the parking lot.
Don't mess with Judge Kathy.
Sir, have you had any vegetables today?
Yes, I had oysters.
What?
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 Approach the bench.
What will Judge Kathy decide?
Yes, Your Honor. Oh!
You could have had a V8. Get out of my courtroom.
You bopped me, Your Honor.
It was a love tap.
Check your local listings.
My boys are boys. They got me out there at quarterback, so I got a pain reliever for my sore joints. They even had me join their own little band. So I had to get a headache medicine, too. Different pains, different pain relievers. But not anymore. Today, I'm all Advil. Advil is my every pain reliever. Works wherever I hurt. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. So whatever hurts, I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
Here's something to think about next time you try to get out of jury duty. Everybody has to do it at some point, even celebrities. ABC's Dave Alpert has one such story.
J-Lo is on jury duty. The superstar singer and actress reported to a Beverly Hills courthouse Monday answering a jury summons. An assistant was said to be at her side in the jury holding room. Both Lopez and the assistant were seen making cell phone calls and text messaging. At least one fan reportedly approached J-Lo in the holding room asking her to autograph a copy of her new CD. Dave Halpert, ABC News, Los Angeles.
The longer you wait to have a child, the more likely he or she will be autistic. And moms and dads, we're talking about both of you in this case. A study by Kaiser Permanente says men and women who are age 40 or over are at a 30% greater risk than those who are in their 20s when they have their first child. Now, the experts say that's the worst. The experts say all that the increase is really still very small. Jerry Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, an Alton teacher is under investigation for inappropriate contact with his students. The alleged incidents took place on the campus of Alton High School and reportedly involved as many as three students. School administrators say the teacher has been suspended with pay pending the results of an investigation. The Illinois Department of Children and Family Services has launched a probe into the matter as well. A University City man is charged with assaulting a St. Louis County police officer. Police say that 19-year-old Elma Davis and another man were approached by the officer and asked for identification early Friday morning. Authorities say that Davis pointed a gun at the officer before fleeing the scene. Davis was arrested in Fairview Heights and charged with first-degree assault on a law enforcement officer. He is in jail on $200,000 bond. Finally this hour, the Rams will start their preseason on the road. The team announced its schedule yesterday, which kicks off with a game against the Vikings in Minnesota in early August. They will then return home for a nationally televised game against the San Diego Chargers at the Edward Jones Dome on August 18th. The regular season schedule may be released by the end of this week. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Westbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through Highway K. Look for an accident. And the left lane's blocked. It's at Highway K, so look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 364 between Maryland Heights and Bennington Station. Look for an accident. And that Bennington is now open as they just cleared that accident. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Teslam Ferry through Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic around the 44 Exchange. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. Then again from 270 into McKnight. Look for some slow traffic there as well. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue into the 5570 merge. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into the landing at this hour, although it is sluggish. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on in. Look for some delays, but everything should be rolling well, although you can expect some slowdowns in the left lane. And eastbound 70 from North Broadway through Adelaide. Look for traffic to be easing now at Adelaide. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly sunny during mid-morning, chance of showers and thunderstorms by mid-morning, late mid-morning, and showers may be severe. You may have some storms that are severe with large damaging hail and wind. Highs will be in the mid-70s, but it will be slowly dropping into the afternoon. There is a severe thunderstorm watch until 4 p.m. this afternoon. For this evening, much colder, breezy, mostly cloudy in the morning, then partly cloudy throughout the day, low in the upper 30s. And for Wednesday, much cooler, partly cloudy, high around 50. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy, low around 30. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 66 degrees and scattered clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 69 and scattered clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Up next, more riveting radio with Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Brothers,
love, peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brothers. Stop me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Today is Election Day. What does that mean for you? Well, it means that you have some business to attend to. We live in a city. We live in a time where people need to embrace the fact that they have power. Yeah, what is the phrase? Don't you beg nobody for power. You were born with it. And today is the day to demonstrate the power that you have. I spent 5 days laying on the floor 2 weeks ago of Francis Slay, the mayor of the city of St. Louis's office. I did that in support of the high school students that took over his office, took over City Hall. Why? Because they understand, they envisioned their future. And what they saw terrified them. Because they understood that the actions that were taking place in Jefferson City, the political actions that were taking place in Jefferson City, would cheat them of their future. That we have mindless. Let me take that back. I withdraw that. We have individuals, politicians up in Jefferson City, in the city of St. Louis, that have greed on the mind and understand that, you know, right now the future, the frontier, the next great financial frontier are the billion-dollar money pots that are sitting in urban school districts all across this country. They want to go and claim the money. They want to use children of African descent as a means for more money. So in their wisdom, they decided to, you know what, we're going to take away the accreditation of the largest school district in the state of Missouri before the end of the school year without examining whether or not this would impact scholarships and college admissions. Well, those students sat down in Francis Slay's office, took over that office. I was there with them, and they didn't do that. They couldn't do that. We need to talk about what actions can take place. What can we do? What can we do if we imagine our future? What things can we engage in? Well, I'm going to be talking to activist and author Stephen Duncombe. He has written a book, Dream, Reimagining Progressive Politics in an Age of Fantasy. He is joining us from New York City. My name is Liz Brown. You don't want to miss this discussion. Stay with me.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one. We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Previously on the Sloan Ranger program.
How dare you create an argument for public health that exempts the casinos? You wouldn't do that. If we had an avian flu epidemic in St. Louis, would you exempt the casinos from those regulations?
Pretty good. No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, so it kind of betrayed the argument on its face.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Taking off my shoes. Jumping in the water. Washing away these blues. Takes hold. Words already been spoken. Tales already been told. Hearts already been broken. Wounds already been healed. Do you wanna be loved? Do you wanna be loved for real? Do you wanna be loved?
You want to be loved for real, baby? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. This hour, we are going to engage in a conversation with activist and author of Dream, Reimagining Progressive Politics in an Age of Fantasy, Stephen Duncombe. He's joining us from New York City. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk to a progressive person. So let's jump right into your book.
Sure.
You say that this all comes down to this being political philosophies, the way we live in the world. It all comes down to reality. Progressives believe in it, and Bush's people believe in creating it. What do you mean?
What I mean is, it used to be that we were the ones that believed in creating reality. I mean, who, after all, is known for "I Have a Dream"? Okay, is that progressives and the left used to really have a monopoly on creating the future? But somehow, in the past, 10, 20 years, we've gotten caught in a place where we're actually the ones sort of defending reality, and it's actually the Republican right which are putting forth the dreams and the fantasies and desires. And I think that's very dangerous, because I think you're basically playing a losing game politically unless you can articulate fantasies and desires and show how our politics can bring people there.
And let's go to Martin Luther King, because
sure.
I am fascinated with your assessment of this. You talked about how Martin Luther King's dream hit all the right notes. Talk to us about that.
Well, King is now remembered in sort of a sanitized version of civil rights history as this sort of, the great man of moral, purity, who just, did what his heart told him to. Yeah, he was that, but he was also a master tactician and strategist. And he understood the power of fantasies and dreams. And if you take his "I Have a Dream" speech, what he does is he weaves in and out both biblical references, secular references. He makes references to the idea of the Constitution, to the Declaration of Independence, and really just says, hey, look, This is what we're asking for. We're asking for African Americans to be included in the dream that the rest of y'all have. Okay? And it was a brilliant, brilliant articulation. And it wasn't just his dream speech in which he understood this sort of the necessity of sort of these spectacles and the necessity of hooking people into people's desires and fears. It was actually part of his ground strategy as well. And one of the examples I talk about in the book is about the campaign to desegregate Birmingham, Alabama in 1963. And, you know, probably most of your listeners, when they think of, you know, an image from the civil rights movement, they probably think of an image of that campaign. It was really that moment when the world saw what Southern African Americans were experiencing every single day. That is, those images of the school kids, you know, being attacked by police, fire hoses being turned on, you know, people in suits in their Sunday best, all of those images. Now, King understood that that was going to happen. In fact, he and his lieutenants planned specifically to desegregate Birmingham, Alabama, because they knew Bull Connor would lose his shit. And, you know, at that moment, you know, that's exactly what happened. And so what happened is that essentially this sort of the nightmare that African Americans were living every single day of their lives got transmitted across the entire country and across
electronically,
the world.
Electronically.
Exactly. And I think that he understood that because a year before they had tried to do the same campaign in Georgia, and it failed. And it failed miserably because they basically had a police chief who just very peacefully arrested everybody. And
that
really
wasn't enough.
And
that wasn't enough. And that wasn't enough simply to be arrested, because that was not the truth about the reality.
Exactly. And so what he did was he performed reality. He really staged reality. And I think that really was for me, a real inspiration of what a good political strategy, political tactic could be.
Now, you talk about the strength of Martin Luther King in staging the reality of the world, but also, isn't that one of the weaknesses when you talk about his dream?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, this is a complicated part of the book, but I think it's really important. The problem with King's early dreams, as opposed to his later dreams, where he got truly dangerous and paid for it, is that they were realizable. And what I mean by realizable is when he says, we just want to be part of the American dream. Well, now you can point around to look at the State Department. You look at the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
You look at some of these entertainment industries. And you say, well, look, people are being judged by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin.
And let's be specific. We're talking about Colin Powell, Condoleezza
Rice,
Oprah, Clarence,
you know,
Thomas.
Oprah Winfrey. We're talking about, you know, you name it. And there are examples. And so people can point to these examples and say, well, we don't have to worry about civil rights anymore. The dream has been realized. Now, the rest of us who know that's not true, I heard your lead-in story about a school, mainly African-American school, which is being decertified in your own city. You know, the rest of us know this isn't true, and so we face the opposite, which is sort of a disparagement, which is, oh, this dream is a scam anyway. And what I'm more interested in is this new sort of dreaming that's happening. And it's something King was doing at the end of his life, but you can see it in southern Mexico with the Zapatistas and other places around the world, of impossible dreams. Dreams that you know are never going to be realized, but keep you walking anyway. And the advantage of these impossible dreams is that you don't start to mistake your dream for reality. One of the tricky parts about the sort of type of reality construction that the Bush administration does is they want us to buy the fantasy as reality. And I think that's a danger. And that what I'm trying to do in this book is figure out how to do this dreaming ethically. And one of the ways I came out with this, these folks are doing it already on the ground, and they're doing it by saying, hey, guys, this is just a dream. It's only a dream, but it keeps us walking. It keeps us walking forward. We'll never realize it. We'll never, you know, fall into complacency, or we'll never be disenchanted that we never reached it, because it's unreachable. But it does keep us going in the right direction. It keeps hope alive, to use a phrase.
And then, so let's talk about the ethical component of this, because
sure,
that's the challenge, and that's the reality of the Bush's claim on reality.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's key for me, because I think when progressives, you know, if they even acknowledge that, look, politics is not just about having the right answer, but it's tapping into people's fantasies and desires, usually what happens is then we look to what they do in the advertising field, or look to what the right does and say, we can do that. And we basically, you know, think, oh, our problems will be solved with a sexy advertisement.
Oh, not only that, and we also have not simply the sexy advertisement, but things like I'm going to pass a act, and I'm going to call it No Child Left Behind. Right. How sexy is that? How wonderful is that? And also how co-opted is that? Because
exactly.
he stole it. They stole the phrase, and then they lived the lie.
Right. And I got it. I have to admire them at some level. But it's unethical.
Yes,
it is.
We
cannot do the same thing.
Yes, it is.
And so what we've got to figure out is how to tap into desire and fantasy, how to create spectacles, but do it according to different principles, not just borrow from
or steal.
The right.
Or steal.
Or steal, exactly. But instead say, we've got to create our own type of spectacle, a spectacle which doesn't lie to people. In addition to Martin Luther King, you're going to crack up, and I tell you this, the other great inspiration was Las Vegas. Because, you know,
well, I'm looking at the cover of your book, and I understand that there is a fascination with Vegas, okay?
And what I learned in Las Vegas, a fan of your listeners has been to Las Vegas.
But wait a minute, Stephen. You can't tell us because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Exactly. Which is a brilliant campaign.
Truly.
Even if nothing happens, you have an idea that it might happen, right? So in any case, what's neat about Vegas, particularly Vegas in the past 20 years, is you go to Vegas, and I'm from New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see New York, okay? And then across the street, there's Paris. And then down the strip, there's Egypt. And then up the block a little bit, there's Italy. Now, what's interesting about these is that nobody really thinks they're going to New York or to Paris or to Egypt or to Italy. In other words, they know that they're buying into a fantasy, but they like the fantasy nonetheless. That is, part of the problem was sort of, you know, the Bush, the great spectacle of the Bush administration. It was him landing on the USS Abraham Lincoln, you know, getting out with a flight suit and so on and so forth.
Mission accomplished.
And it was about trying to cover over reality with a fantasy. That is, actually, you know, our president's not a warrior prince, and the war is obviously not over in Iraq, but there's trying to create a fantasy to cover that over. What's neat about Vegas is they create a fantasy and say, hey, look, guys, it's a fantasy. There's no illusion there, or rather, there's no delusion. There is illusion, but not delusion. No one's fooled in Las Vegas except at the gaming tables. And it really showed me that people can engage in a fantasy.
We can do that.
And know it's a fantasy. And so it doesn't have to be about trickery. And we can like it and also be conscious of the fact that it's just a fake.
But how do you translate that into politics?
Politics? Yes. Well, one of the groups I work with is a group called Billionaires for Bush. And what we are is we're sort of, I don't know, halfway up between a theater troupe and a political activist organization. We work with an outfit called United for a Fair Economy in Boston. And what we do is we try to make people aware of spending practices and corruption in campaigns and politics. That is, how much is given to what politicians and what that buys you in terms of political favors. And we're basically, if we have a call, it's for a profound reorganization of the electoral system and getting money out of the electoral system. But we don't do it by just giving people fact sheets. What we do is we dress up as billionaires. And we dress up as billionaires in order to make a campaign in the name of people of wealth. Okay, and we do things like we go to the post office on the 15th of April and thank regular citizens of America for paying more than their fair share. And we had a million billionaire march. And the whole idea is that, you know, we've been quiet too long. We're buying our president, and we want people to know. Now, we don't dress like billionaires. Okay, I live in Soho, right? In subsidized housing in Soho. So, but I'm surrounded by real billionaires, and you know what? They wear distressed designer jeans. What we dress is billionaires that are straight out of a Monopoly game. You know, top hats and tiaras and so on and so forth. And so people find us very funny and amusing. Yet they're not fooled that we're real billionaires. Yet still, it's an amusing shtick, and it allows us to get out facts about campaign reform, which most people would just normally turn away from because, you know, hear those people preaching on the street corner. And so it's this interesting, like, we're funny, people get into the shtick, but they never are fooled by us. They know that we're not billionaires.
And hold that thought because we have to take a break. I'm talking to Stephen Duncombe, activist and author of Dream, Reimagining Progressive Politics in an Age of Fantasy. Joining us from New York City, my name is Liz Brown. I'll be back with more of this discussion. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and Highway K. Accident left lanes blocked. That's at Highway K. Expect slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to 79. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at 44 and Doherty Ferry. Look for slow volume there as well. Eastbound 40 between 270 and McKnight, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road, look for some delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge is moving well. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue and the 5570 merge, heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 between Broadway and Adelaide, look for traffic easing at Adelaide. Eastbound 364 from Maryville Heights Expressway all the way into Bennington Place. Look for that accident to have been cleared, and Bennington is now open as well as the exit to that as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, a severe thunderstorm watch is in effect until 4 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, partly sunny this morning, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms through mid and late morning and afternoon. Some storms may be severe with large hail and damaging winds. Highs will be in the mid-70s, but it will be falling by the afternoon. For this evening, much colder, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. For Wednesday, much cooler, partly cloudy with a high only around 50. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. Then on Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920, WGNU, we have 64 degrees and some scattered clouds. Lambert Fields reporting 68 and scattered clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather. I'm Howard Morton. This is AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Hey, St. Louis. This is Syl Wilson. Be sure and tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for The Real Deal with Syl.
Excellent.
We'll talk about what I want to talk about, then we can talk about what you want to talk about, then we can talk about what I want to talk about again. So be sure and tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for The Real Deal with Syl. See you then.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. Do not forget, today is election day. There's a school board race out there. Walk into the polls and, you know what, punch one and you're done. Get on over to your election site and punch in Number two, that would be David Jackson School Board. Just punch one and you're done. Walk out of that voting booth and go on with the rest of your day. Election day, don't forget to go out and vote. There are elections going on all over our region. I am having a discussion this morning with Stephen Duncombe, activist and author of Dream, Reimagining Progressive Politics in an Age of Fantasy. And he's joining us from New York City. And Stephen, welcome back.
Good to be back.
I'm looking through your book, and I really do love some of the concepts that you advocate and you articulate in your book. I particularly love the chapter, Think Different, Advertising Utopia, and you start with explaining how progressives really have the wrong idea about almost like an instinctive repulsion to advertising. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, and it's an instinctive repulsion that I feel too, and partly because advertising clutters up our airwaves, it billboards on our highways, selling us stuff we don't need, and so I think I can understand why progressives don't like advertising. It's part of the consumerist system which is destroying the world. However, it's also very successful. And a lot of very, very smart, creative people work in advertising.
And I love this line. I just have to share this line that I love because it's just so pretty. You say that that perhaps there's other ways for progressives to think about advertising. We need to burrow deep into it, drilling past the sizzle into the steak. There we will find the DNA, the code that guides its various permutations, no matter what product is being sold.
Right. And what that DNA is desire. And it's not desire for the product. It's about desires which are deep within us, desires to feel noticed, desires to have power, desires to have more time with our kids. If you look at classic advertising, all of it sells a dream, and many of these dreams are progressive dreams. One of the advertisements I describe in the book is about a McDonald's ad, and it goes something like this. A father gets off of work. He goes home. His daughter runs out of the house, jumps into his arms. They go pick up a burger, and they go to a zoo. They walk through without paying any money. It's a clean, beautiful zoo, and they sit and have a wonderful afternoon together. And then at the end, a little McDonald's logo pops up. What does this have to do with hamburgers? Absolutely nothing. That's not what's being sold here. What's being sold here is a world in which fathers can spend more time with their daughters, when you can have a clean, open public space, and you can have free admission to public areas. That's the dream being sold. This is a progressive dream. We're the ones that should be making an argument for, you know, lower work weeks, more health care, free and open public spaces.
Who would have thunk it, Stephen, that a McDonald's advertisement is a progressive's dream?
Exactly. And that's why they're so powerful. And advertisers understand this, is they know that the desire for a hamburger is not that strong. But the desire for a better life, however that's articulated, is exactly what's going to get us in line in buying that hamburger. So what we've got to do is not copy their advertisements, but try to hook into those desires that are being met and saying, hey, look, if you really want to have this dream, we're the ones that can help get you there, and this is how we're going to do it. And that's, again, what separates our ethics out from theirs. That is we do have policies that can make that dream come true. McDonald's does not.
And you also talk about that what advertising is about transformation.
Yeah. It is. It really is. I mean, you could see this in those primitive sort of 1950s before and after, you know. She couldn't get any men, and then she brushes with Pepsodent, and now look at them. They're all around her. But it's more sophisticated now, but most advertisements work in that same sort of before and after, which is if you buy this product, you will become something else. Now, that something else might just be a savvier consumer, someone that understands the wink and the nod of the ironic ad, but still it is about transformation. And you know what? Progressives used to have, again, a monopoly on transformation. You know, what is democracy or socialism, feminism, or the civil rights movement other than a dream that things could be different in the future?
And better.
And better, exactly. But too often progressives make our appeals in, we've got to hold on to what we have, or sacrifice what you have for someone else. Advertisements, think about an advertisement that said, look, life's not going to be really be better, but, you know, and maybe you're going to have to give something up for something else.
But it's the right thing to do, so
it's the right thing to do. Well, it wouldn't work. It may be the right thing to do, but we have to start appealing to what people really want, and I think we can. We have done it in the past. We can do it again.
And so when you, one of the things that you also do in this Think Different component, you talk about how we try to sell, how progressives sell their stuff, and it is just like that. You got to sacrifice. Yeah. You got to give up. But it's the right thing to do, and you're supposed to do that. And that's not the way to connect people.
Right. Well, it connects with, you know, people that want self-flagellants, who want to beat themselves, perhaps, and masochists. But you can't build a big movement out of that. I mean, I think that, unfortunately, progressives have a puritanical strain within them. And I think that's very dangerous, because I think that making politics about self-sacrifice, even if some sacrifice is sometimes necessary, is going to be a losing strategy. It might make you and your friends feel really good about yourselves, but it's not about winning political power. And if politics aren't about winning power and changing the world, then to me they're not really worth anything. And I think we have to really wake up and say, are we serious about power? Are we not serious about power?
Because it seems like sometimes progressives, liberals have this conflicted life experience. You know, if you rail against power, how can you really be part of it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, the people with the power are the bad guys. Right. We got to go get the bad guys that have the power. But then if we get the bad guys who have the power, that means that we're in power.
Right. And ironically, Liz, is what ends up happening is that we become closer linked to power by arguing against it all the time. That is, we become dependent on there being other people we don't like, because that's our whole sort of personality. And I think we have to say, hey, look, you know, we're willing to cut ourselves free from that. We're willing to really take the break and say, well, what would it be like to imagine power differently, as opposed to being safe and secure and saying, I don't like that.
And also ethically, to imagine power ethically.
Yes, exactly. And that's going to take some work, because our notions of power are basically created within the world we live in. Our notions of fantasy are created within the world we live in. Our notions of spectacle are created within the world we live in. So it's going to take a lot of work to think different about how we're going to do this, but retreating into facts and complaint and criticism is not going to bring us any closer to power. It just makes us the loyal opposition.
Talk to us about the allure of a celebrity.
Yes, the lure of celebrity. Well, one of the things that's fascinating about celebrity is it's, again, it's another thing that liberals and progressives like to hate. And I'm a political activist. I write books. I think of myself as, you know, a smart guy and a political guy. Yet, you know, I know all too much about what Paris Hilton is doing.
Honest to God. You know, I would never say that for real, but honest to goodness.
Yes, honest to goodness. And so one of the things I was trying to do in this book is say, well, look, if I'm thinking these things, what about other folks as well? Maybe there's something in celebrity beyond the sort of obvious, which is we want to watch the lives of the rich and the famous, living lives that we can't live. Maybe there's something else in there that actually progressives can use. And one of the things I realized by, you know, for my sins, reading, you know, 500, celebrity magazines.
In the checkout line, because we never commit to buying the magazines, but you certainly
exactly.
pick them up in the checkout line.
I realized that they're about being seen. That is, all of us really want to be a star, and part of being a star is having the money and so on and so forth, no doubt about it. But part of it is about being seen, being noticed. And I realized that so many political organizations that I've been a part of, particularly the large-scale ones, things like Greenpeace or even the Democratic, believe it or not, I was once an elected official of the Democratic Party, really were not, I didn't feel noticed, okay? I was a cog in the machine. I was someone who gave money or staffed a phone. I wasn't part and parcel of the political process itself. And so one of the things I realized about this being seen is we have to create political organizations in which individuals are noticed. Now, who does this really well? The churches do it really well. And the right has captured the churches, but remember that the churches also gave us the civil rights movement as well. It's in those small communities that people feel that their presence is actually acknowledged, that they're not just a cog in the wheel making things happen for more important people. And I really think that we have to sort of look at, okay, these are the things that celebrity is about. It's about being seen, about being noticed, about being recognized. And we have to do the same thing within our political organizations itself.
So, for example, how would you see something like that happening?
Okay. I'll give a counterexample and then an example. The counterexample is, I don't know if this happens in St. Louis, but in New York, I walk down the street, someone comes up to me with a clipboard and says, hey, do you want to save the environment? I say yes.
Okay, hold on to that thought. Sure. Hold on to that thought. We have to take a break. I'm talking to Stephen Duncombe, activist and author of A Dream, Reimagining Progressive Politics in an Age of Fantasy. He's joining us from New York City. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back with more of this discussion. Stay with us.
Hello, my name is Pamela Smith, and I'm a parent of two children who attend schools in the Riverview Garden School District. Building a future for our children is important. Therefore, on April 3rd, I will be looking for someone who understands the importance of quality teachers in making schools both accountable and effective. I will be casting my vote for Bobby Small and Janetta Thomas.
Paid for by the citizens to elect Small and Thomas. Kevin Thomas, Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Friday morning at 11 for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales, Friday morning at 11 on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
I'm Karen Stewart. Join me on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for Strategies for Building Wealth. This program will explore topics designed to help you better manage your finances, improve your net worth, and understand the basics of investing. So join me as we talk about strategies for building wealth, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on WGNU.
Time to make your money work.
With a little time and a lot of love, the bakers at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store have transformed their signature dough into bread bunnies for Easter. That's right, a rabbit made entirely of honey whole wheat bread. It's a healthier choice for your Easter baskets. It also makes a charming centerpiece for your holiday dinner. Order yours today, 314-991-0049. That's the Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store. Making people happy, one rabbit, one loaf at a time.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Tehran. Iran says it has no plans to put the captive crew of British sailors and Marines on trial. Yesterday, the British government said that early bilateral discussions with Iran had begun in order to end the crisis over the naval crew. A Foreign Office spokeswoman said that both sides wanted to find a diplomatic solution to the problem. The standoff has now reached 12 days in the case of the 15 sailors and Marines who were captured in the Persian Gulf. The crew was captured on March 23rd near the mouth of the Shatt al-Arab, a waterway that has been a disputed dividing line between Iraq and Iran for a long time. Tehran says the crew was in Iranian waters, and Britain insists the troops were in Iraqi waters working under a UN mandate. A British official insists that they are not negotiating with Iran and that they want the release to be unconditional. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Great Harvest Bread Company.
Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen has a new time, Tuesdays from 10 until noon, right here on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Yeah.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and don't forget that the Wake Up Call is archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, go over there and get your hour daily archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can always find that at LizBrown.com. That's LizzBrown.com. My guest this hour is Stephen Duncombe. He is an activist and author of Dream, Reimagining Progressive Politics in an Age of Fantasy, and he's joining us from New York. And Stephen, I caught you in the middle of a thought. You were giving us two examples.
All right. The example was about sort of how mainstream progressive politics. In our town, if you walk down the street, someone comes up with a clipboard and asks you, do you want to save the environment? And you say yes. And soon you start talking to them, and you realize what they really want from you is some money out of your bank account every single month to hire a professional activist to save the environment for you. Okay? And now this is really actually, it's quite efficient. You get professional organizers, doing the lobbying and the activism that needs to be done. But it also profoundly disempowers people. It doesn't recognize their talents and so on. And you compare that to sort of, you know, how local community organizations work, in which they're small scale, are affinity groups in which every single person's unique capabilities are recognized. They're also, I've been a community organizer for years, they're also very inefficient. But I think that we have to make peace with that inefficiency, because that is the bedrock of democracy, and that's how people keep coming back to meetings week after week after week, because they feel like what they're doing matters and that people understand and notice what they're doing. I think that's absolutely essential for a long-term progressive politics.
So where do you see us now, Stephen?
In a lot of trouble? No, I actually think we're at a crossroads. I really do. I think the Democratic Party won the recent elections, not through any talent of their own, but because of the absolute sort of collapse of the Republican fantasy and the Republican dream.
Because when you really analyze it, look how far, how bad it had to get before the Democrats were able to win a majority.
Exactly. And I think they're at a turning point. I think that they can either sit down, listen to those progressives that are doing the sort of stuff that I'm talking about, because this isn't just coming out of my brain. This is actually something that I've watched groups on the ground experiment with over the past 10 or 15 years. Listen to these groups and say, we've got to articulate a fantasy. We've got to articulate a dream. And we've got to think about politics differently so it resonates with everyday Americans in this world of fantasy that we live in, and not just hold press conferences and trot out the facts and the figures. Or they can continue on doing like they're doing, and they will lose in another 4 years.
Well, let me ask you this, because going back Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, I'm a woman of African descent, and I get some of the things that he did from this perspective. You couldn't find a better organizing tool than a whites-only sign. Okay, we had these incredible visuals that existed back then to organize around. Today, you don't have the signs up, but you have the policy.
Right, exactly.
you don't have the signs up.
That's what makes it so tricky to organize in this world. I talk to my students all the time, and they're like, well, we don't know what we're up against.
What's
because
wrong?
It's faceless, it's nameless, it's people meeting where they're saying, we understand completely, and then going ahead and doing something behind the shadows. And that's exactly how politics works now. So what do? If you don't have that sort of that thing which you can organize against, right now that thing is the war in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Right.
But U.S. troops are going to be pulled out in a year, and then progressives won't have that thing to point to anymore. So they've got to create a positive vision. Because King did two things simultaneously. He said, we don't want that, but we do want this. Okay, particularly later in his life, he was much clearer about what they wanted, and it was bigger, and it was about world peace, and it was about cooperation.
And they killed him.
Exactly, mm-hmm. because it's very dangerous. But I think it's absolutely necessary for political power, is that we have to move from we don't like that to here's the desires, here's the dreams, here's the fantasies that we do like. And we're going to articulate them, we're going to perform them, so people can sort of live in them. A government body can do this. If you look at the New Deal, under Franklin Delano Roosevelt, it was just a bunch of policies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't just say, oh, we're going to pass through a bunch of policies. They wrapped it around this thing called the New Deal. FDR got on the radio to explain it every single week. They hired all these artists to actually visualize what this new deal was going to look like and the dream of a society in which every individual could actually matter. That was actually very, very important.
And
you've
also,
got to move to that.
And also the methodology of it. I appreciate the effectiveness of television and all of that, but you don't get any more intimate than being in somebody's ear.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking to their and touching their and letting them do the imagining without the cameras telling you what the image is. So that also helped FDR.
Yeah, and I think that's important. And I also think what's important is, as you say, sort of being in someone's ear, not just in terms of radio, but in terms of soliciting these dreams from everyday Americans. That is, again, it goes back to this idea of an ethical spectacle versus unethical. An unethical spectacle is me and you and five people like us sit in a room and we come up with the dream that we're going to sell America. That's not ethical. Then we're just replacing them with us. I'm really thinking about how do we come up with desires and dreams democratically? How do we talk about them? How do we figure them out together?
But Martin Luther King and a group of people articulated the dream.
Yeah, they did, and I actually have some questions about that. But they also did it coming out of these organizations which had been thinking about dreams for centuries, and they were the black churches. And that dream had been part of the organization and the vision of the black churches in the South for way before Martin Luther King. What he did that was so brilliant is he tapped into it. But it was much more organic than him and a couple of other great men up with this dream.
Absolutely. Well, it's not a Karl Rove sitting in a back room with Dick Cheney
exactly. And
creating what the dream is going to be. So where do you see the Republicans going from where we are?
Well, they're going down too. But I think that the Republicans have a problem, which is they built their dream on reality. They really built the fantasy. And I make a differentiation in my book between dreams and fantasies. The fantasies are used to cover over reality, where dreams are articulated as what they are, which is, you know, as fantasies themselves. But I think that what the Republicans did was that they, after 9/11 in particular, they built up a fantasy, and sooner or later reality comes around and haunts you. And, you know, we're seeing that every single day. So what they have to do is rearticulate a new dream. Now, I'm not sure when they're going to be able to do with it. They certainly have a lot more practice than progressives do.
Yeah, but the whole ethics thing holds them back.
Yeah, and the whole ethics thing, exactly. They're not worried about that. So they're very good at this, but I think they're in a free fall. My guess is they'll be out of power for a while, and they'll try to reassemble what it means to be a Republican after this. My guess is it's going to be much more in the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Giuliani, you know, compassionate conservative model.
I was reading something out of one of the Politico, I think it was, a blog out there, and the lead Republican strategists and consultants are looking towards 2013,
yeah, exactly.
And they're saying exactly the same thing. We have to rebrand our party.
That's exactly it, and I'm glad you used that word, rebranding the party. Progressives, we don't like to think about that we have a brand, but you know what? We do have a brand.
That's
it's
right.
Just not of our making. People have already given us a brand. We're ineffectual.
Exactly.
We don't connect with regular people, we're elitist, and so on and so forth. We've got to take control of our own brand and decide what it is that we stand for, and then be able to project that.
And Stephen Duncombe, author of Dream Reimagining Progressive Politics in an Age of Fantasy. Where can people get your book?
They can get it at the local bookstore. I prefer to get it at the local bookstore, but if you have to, there's always Amazon.com.
Excellent. Stephen, thank you so much for this conversation this morning.
Thank you for having me on. It's been a real pleasure.
Take care now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-877-920-WGNU. We need to get to some Election Day updates. Marlene Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. We're very energetic.
Okay, what's going on out there?
It's pretty quiet.
Whoops. Did we lose you, Marlene? After all that time holding on, we lost you. Hopefully Marlene Terry will call back. This is Liz Brown. We're going to have some more Election Day updates. We're going to have some more Election Day conversations. I'm going to be talking to David Jackson. He is candidate for the St. Louis School Board in the next hour. And let me get back to Marlene to see if we can. Marlene.
Yes, sorry, got cut off here.
Okay.
Yeah, but people need to come on out and vote. You know, we're pretty energetic out here. And I just wanted to let everybody know, you know, last night I found out that some of our campaign literature got sabotaged. So that's not going to stop it, so.
And we're talking about the Riverview Garden School Board election. Bobby Small, Janetta Thomas, those are the candidates that you need to come out and support in the Riverview Gardens School Board election.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, Marlene Terry, school board member, thank you so much. We'll be back in the next hour to talk to David Jackson. We're talking about school politics. Election day is today. Don't forget to vote. When I hang up this right now, when I go to the hour break, pick up the phone, go to your internet, and email or contact or phone somebody and remind them, don't forget, today's election day. Go out and vote. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back with my last hour for today. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. In about 10 minutes from now, President Bush will make a statement, and he could come out swinging against congressional Democrats. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
We expect President Bush to accuse the Democrats of playing politics with money for the Iraq War. This comes after Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid threatened to answer any presidential veto with a vote on a firm cutoff of funds. That would give Congress its first shot at forcing an end to U.S. deployment within the next 12 months.
Mr. Bush says the money will run out in a matter of weeks. The Democrats say there's enough to keep things going till this summer. British Prime Minister Tony Blair says the next 2 days are, in his words, fairly critical in resolving the dispute with Iran over 15 British service members. He'd like to use proper diplomatic channels.
If that's not possible, then we have to take an increasingly tougher position.
Tehran is holding the sailors and Marines, accusing them of entering Iranian territorial waters, which are now off limits to the Brits. Mitt Romney is the GOP to beat in the race for the White House, at least when it comes to raising money. He has about $23 million in his war chest. That's more than John McCain or Rudy Giuliani. The former Massachusetts governor says that proves people aren't spooked by the fact that he's a Mormon.
All you have to do is look at my wife and me and our marriage of 38 years and my family and recognize our values are as American as you'll find anywhere in this great country.
Romney's still behind Democrat Hillary Rodham Clinton, though she's raised about $26 million. You know the contaminated wheat gluten that's responsible for a huge pet food recall? It could be a problem in human food, too. Here's ABC's David Hurley.
Ingredients like this are supposed to be marked for human or animal use. The FDA is telling us the labeling on this Chinese product was minimal. But the agency believes that the majority of it, only the majority, went to pet food, which is why the agency really can't guarantee that the bad ingredient hasn't also ended up in the human food supply.
ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is up 70 points in early going. The NASDAQ is ahead by 17. This is ABC News.
Today on Judge Kathy, a husband, a wife, and V8 100% vegetable juice.
My husband won't eat right.
Anytime I don't eat enough vegetables, she bops me on the forehead like this. Oh. And says, could have had a V8.
It's a love tap.
Oh, it's a bop.
Order in the car.
Don't mess with Judge Kathy.
Sir, have you had any vegetables today?
Yes, I had oysters.
What?
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 Approach the bench.
What will Judge Kathy decide?
Yes, Your Honor. Ow.
You could have had a V8. Get out of my courtroom.
You bopped me, Your Honor.
It was a love.
Check your local listings.
My boys, our boys.
They got me out there at quarterback, so I got a pain reliever for my sore joints. They even had me join their own little band. So I had to get a headache medicine, too. Different pains, different pain relievers. But not anymore. Today, I'm all Advil. Advil is my every pain reliever. Works wherever I hurt. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. So whatever hurts, I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
The Florida Gators did it again last night. They took the men's NCAA basketball championship for the second year in a row, beating Ohio State 84-75. ABC's Todd Ant has more from Atlanta.
It must have been frustrating for Ohio State head coach Thad Matta to watch his team rally from a deficit and close the gap, only to have Florida knock down threes and make plays under the basket on their way to a second national title.
When you've got a point guard that's won a national championship and he's back and his supporting cast around him, you know, their chemistry is tremendous.
Up next for Matta, convince Greg Oden to stay for another year, doubtful, and welcome in another talented recruiting class. And it's a good bet the Buckeyes will be back for another shot at the title very soon. At the Final Four, Todd Ant, ABC News, Atlanta.
The University of Tennessee and Rutgers meet in the women's title game tonight. They're called Flat Daddies. Posters are dolls with the likeness of a father or mother stationed overseas in the military. They're popular now, especially with kids who have a parent in Iraq. Child psychologists like them. They say they can help kids cope with the absence. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, police disarmed a bomb on a Franklin County highway yesterday. A highway worker discovered the explosive device around noon under a bridge on County Highway O in Catawissa. The County Sheriff's Department called the St. Louis County Bomb and Arson Squad, who were able to disarm the bomb. The highway was shut down while police examined the device. Police say they don't know how long the bomb was there or who put it there. Vandals have struck a St. Charles County school for the second time in a month. The latest incident at Castleo Elementary School near St. Peter's took place either late Saturday night or Sunday morning. The Sheriff's Department is investigating, and officials in the Francis Howell School District are tightening security around the building. School officials say they don't know how the vandals got in. Anyone with any information is asked to call the St. Charles County Sheriff's Department. Finally this hour, a pet food company has recalled packages of treats that may be contaminated with salmonella. 8-in-1 Incorporated is recalling all packages of Dingo Chicken Jerky, Dingo Kitty Chicken Jerky, and Dingo Ferret Chicken Jerky. The bacteria could potentially infect both animals and the people handling the food. The treats were sold around the country at PetSmart, Target, and other stores. The company is asking pet owners to throw away unused portions of the jerky treats. If you wish to request a refund, call 888-232-9889. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 270 between Manchester and Ladue. Look for an accident. Three lanes are blocked. It's south of Ladue. Three right lanes are blocked, so expect stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and Highway K. Look for an accident in the left lane. That's at Highway K, so expect slow traffic out there. Westbound 40 between eastbound 40 between Mason and 270. Look for a disabled truck. That's on a northbound ramp there. Northbound 270 at Manchester and Ladue. That's a serious accident. Now four right lanes are blocked, and the ramp from westbound 40 to northbound 270 is closed. People are getting by on the shoulder, so expect long delays this morning. Eastbound 40 between 270 and 170. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound Gravois at Delore. There's a report of an accident. Northbound 270 at Gravois and 44. Look for some delays as a result of what will be northbound 270 at Manchester's serious accident there. Westbound 40 between Laclede Station and 170. Look for an accident. It's been cleared. That's at 170. Eastbound is still having a look, so I expect some delays. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road. Look for traffic to be easing this hour. Westbound 5570 on the Poplar Street Bridge is moving well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. A severe thunderstorm watch is in effect until 4 p.m. this evening, otherwise partly sunny through mid-morning, then becoming mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms late morning and afternoon. Storms may be severe with large damaging hail and winds at times. Highs will be in the mid-70s, but will be falling by this afternoon. For this evening, much colder, breezy, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. For Wednesday, much cooler, partly cloudy, high around 50. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 68 degrees, scattered clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 71. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal.
This portion of the wake-up call is sponsored by the committee to elect David Lee Jackson, Valencia Hill Treasurer.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown, and it is, oh my goodness, it is 9/11 on Election Day. Today is April 3rd. Where's the time gone? Well, today is Election Day, and we're going to have a discussion with one of the candidates running for office, David Lee Jackson. And David, good morning.
Good morning to you, Liz.
Election Day, have you been out there and about? Have you been on the streets? Have you been going to the polling places? And what have you been seeing?
Yes, on the way in, I stopped definitely at my polling place and voted. There is a turnout. Mm-hmm. They're trickling in. Mm-hmm. It's early in the morning, but it's a beautiful day.
Yes, it is. At least the rain may come a little later, so now's the time to get out and get that done.
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things I want to talk about before we get to our first break here is, how important is this election, the school board election in the city of St. Louis today? There are people out there that would make the argument, well, the state has voted for a takeover. What difference does this make?
I think it is the utmost importance on two fronts. One, we have the right to vote, and the possible state takeover or the alleged takeover nullifies the voters' rights of the city of St. Louis. So it is the utmost importance that we get out and vote as many as we can. I understand there's over 200,000 registered voters in the city, and we've been averaging between 10 and 12%. You know, in order to send a message not only to the local government, but we also need to send it to the state, that our vote counts here in the city of St. Louis, and we must show that by showing up at the polls.
Mm-hmm. And then you said that there's another important reason.
The second important reason is because we have an opportunity to change the direction of our schools. We have an opportunity to give the children and the school districts quality education. Currently, three of the board members have in place with the superintendent a comprehensive plan that is working. We can continue with that plan, not only toward full accreditation, but also toward providing that quality education that we need, the professional development that we also need for our teachers.
And we will take a break. I'm talking to David Jackson. We have an election today, folks. Pick up the phone, go to the internet, contact somebody, remind them that today is election day. And when they get to the polls, they need to. It's real easy. It's real easy. Vote for one and then you're done. Just get on over there and vote for David Jackson. And then you're done. You're done. I'll be back. Stay with me.
I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
This portion of the Wake-Up Call is sponsored by the Committee to Elect David Lee Jackson, Valencia Hill Treasurer.
My head's spinning like a carousel. Silently I pray. Helpless and hopeless, that's how I feel inside. Nothing's real, but all is possible. If God is on my side, oh.
All is possible if God is on my side. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. This hour I am talking to David Jackson, and we're talking about the St. Louis school board race, the election that is taking place right now. And David, you've been to a number of town hall meetings. You've been to a number of forums, you've been to ward organization meetings, you've been out there pressing the flesh and talking to people on the street. What are the things that you're hearing from people out there?
Mostly, at this point, I guess within the last 30 days or 15 to 30 days, was the concern of the state takeover. Mm-hmm. Most of the audiences that I was in front of had a concern that the state had actually taken over the school district, and they'll actually be seated on June 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, you know, that's it. There's nothing else we can do. There's nothing else we can say, and let the powers be to be.
So when you confront a citizen out there that has that attitude or that understanding, what do you say to them?
Well, I tell them the facts. I tell them the facts that, one, this is not a done deal. Number two, all the state has done is set up a process for a possible intervention. And there's also other interventions that not only the current Board of Education is planning, but also some parent organizations and just plain folks are getting involved in this. And what happens, once I go through the process of talking about the state takeover, it amazes the folks that what's going to happen. You know, they feel that the state is moving before it is actually official, or they have the right to mm-hmm. intervene.
Mm-hmm. And isn't there also that group of people that you run into out there also that are just, they get it. They understand the fight that we're in, and they understand how important this election is today.
They do. They understand that this has all to do with educating our kids, achieving academic excellence or academic heights in the school systems, and that's what they're concerned with.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they also see the other element where it seems like somebody else has another plan for the school district.
It's interesting. I got word out of Jefferson City yesterday that Governor Blunt is taking the person that he wants to be the CEO around Jefferson City, trying to set up meetings with different senators up there. And it's my understanding that Senator Bray, whose district that he would come out of, has said, I haven't endorsed him. I'm not introducing him yet. I need to see. First of all, she got all kinds of phone calls from people saying, this guy is not an educator. How on earth can you appoint, he doesn't live in the city of St. Louis, has never lived in the city of St. Louis,
no.
Kids didn't go to public schools, and he's not an educator. How can you appoint him as the CEO of the largest school district in the state, and he's not an educator? And so we have going on up in Jefferson City an attempt to make connections with him with elected officials, I guess, to do the little PR campaign for him. But how do you feel when you see, because you said just a few minutes ago about people think that there's another reason for this. Is a person the first person appointed as a non-educator, does that tell you that there's something else going on here?
That tells you quite a bit. And it tells you quite a bit when the governor is taking this man by the hand
mm-hmm.
and leading him through the halls of our representatives to get their support. And I believe to get his support for his agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I, for one, believe his agenda is to promote charter schools. And I don't know exactly why he wants to promote charter schools, since most of the charter schools here in St. Louis, if not all of them, are underperforming public education.
Mm-hmm.
So I am amazed in part that he will continue his process of doing that. You know, I'm amazed that you said that he's taking them around.
Absolutely.
So that tells you.
It tells you.
Yeah.
It talks to the other piece of this, the P word, the politics of this. This isn't about the E word, education.
No.
It's about the politics of this, because one would think that the governor, if this governor was concerned about the educational issues that are confronting the city of St. Louis and their public schools, he would be down in St. Louis shopping him around to, I don't know, parents? Oh, I don't know, teachers? Oh, I don't know, administrators in this education complex that we have going on here? Instead, he's shopping them around up in Jefferson City.
I agree. You know, and I'm totally amazed you said that, when I would think, you know, 6 months ago, this governor should have came to St. Louis and maybe talked to us about our high crime. You know, since the paper stated that we're the most dangerous city, you know, and he controls the police board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he should have put more effort into that and leave educating our children to the educators and to the parents of this community.
And I guess let me ask you this question. Does the fact that Matt Blunt is attempting to appoint a building developer with no education experience, who doesn't live in the city of St. Louis, has never lived in the city of St. Louis, doesn't have kids in the public schools, never had kids in public schools, is that a piece of information that people should use about why they should go out and vote tomorrow?
Oh, most definitely. The first thing is just the attempt on the governor making an appointment. I am totally against a state takeover. I don't care whoever he suggests or whatever he wants to do as far as an appointment. It doesn't make any difference. I'm totally against a state takeover. It makes it no difference who he appoints. We should be all against this state takeover.
And the fact that he has appointed a non-educator, a person with absolutely no experience in education, shows you that he doesn't care about education.
None whatsoever.
So also one of the things that I think that we need to talk about too is the fact that this appointment is in contrary to what the rules, the regulation, and the law says. Talk to us about that.
It's totally against the law. As I had said earlier, the first portion of this law, it only affects a city with a population of 350,000. The first thing that's supposed to happen is the district must lapse. Once a district lapses, then the State Board of Education moves toward a transitional district, and the only way to move toward that is to unaccredit the district. If the district becomes unaccredited, then the State Board of Education is to notify the local school district that there's going to be three appointments to a transitional district in a advisory capacity, and that would be a three-person appointed panel by the mayor, the president of the Board of Aldermen, and the Board of Education. And they're only supposed to act in a advisory capacity. If after a certain time, and it doesn't, and that's what's so vague about this, there's no certain time between the appointment of that advisory board in the unaccreditation that then the state board comes to St. Louis, hold a public forum regarding the accreditation, and also gets confirmation from the local current school board that this school district would not or cannot become accredited. Once that happens, then that transitional advisory board is converted to a governing board. And the person who is appointed by the school board is then replaced by a CEO that the governor selects.
So we have all kinds of jumping the guns, ignoring the laws, not paying any attention to the rules, and misconduct even on the part of the Department of Education. If the Department of Education is supposed to have a statement from the Board of Education, from the City of St. Louis School Board, that they can't, there's no hope of us ever reaching accreditation. They don't have that.
No.
And they've moved despite that.
Yes.
And they've never had a hearing here.
Never had a hearing.
And they have never appointed a three-person advisory group.
No advisory board.
And one of the things I think that people would maybe shocked to learn is that out of the three people, there's only one person that's a paid position.
And that's the CEO appointed by the governor. And that salary is established by the State Board of Education, but those funds must come out of the current school district.
So they could decide to pay him $500,000 a year. And we would have no say over that.
No say. No one.
We would
no
just
one.
We just have to write the check to him. And also, the other piece of this is that I think in a number of people's minds that the idea that there's this three-person board means that, well, all you have to do is outvote the CEO. But there's nothing in the rules that say that there has to be a vote on anything.
There's no vote. I don't know the capacity. If you read the law, I don't know what the capacity of the other two board members are, because the CEO is the appointed person who run the district. And
irrespective of what anybody else, just like a regular CEO.
Yes.
You know, you're familiar with CEOs of businesses. Do they have to go get a vote from anybody before they do anything?
Yes.
They don't, do they?
No, they don't. And that's why it's so important that this election happens, and that's why it's so important that we have a school board in place, because somebody has to watch what this transitional board does and report it to the community, because this guy or this person only reports to the governor of the state of Missouri. He can do whatever he wants to with the district. He answers to no one.
And that is the reason why people need to go and get to their election polls today and vote, because you need a board that is going to be attentive to this, that is going to fight this, and that is not going to be on board with this.
Correct.
A majority board.
Majority board.
All right. David Jackson, a candidate for the St. Louis Public Schools Board. You need to get down to the voting booths today. Today is election day, and you're number two, right?
Number two on the ballot.
Number two on the ballot. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Celebrity voice impersonator.
This is Elvis Presley. And whenever I'm taking care of business in St. Louis, I'm listening to the Sloan Ranger Show on AM 920 WGNU. As the Sloan Ranger would say, thank you. Thank you very much for listening.
The Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Like a flower waiting to bloom, like a light bulb in a dark room, I'm just sitting waiting for you.
This portion of the wake-up call is sponsored by the committee to elect David Lee Jackson, Valencia Hill treasurer.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. I am talking to David Jackson. He is candidate for St. Louis School Board, and election is today. Let me get to a caller or two. Robin, you have a question.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Jackson.
Good morning to you.
Now, I know we're supposed to vote number two the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do you see fit to vote for the school board?
No one. And here's the reason, Robin. This is a strategic thing to do. From my perspective, I am saying that only vote for one person, because here's the thing. There's a white candidate on the ballot that's going to get white votes. Okay?
Okay.
And you don't want to do anything to diminish the possibility of your candidate.
Okay.
So we don't need to vote for any other black candidate because that, again, weakens the possibility. The more votes they get, the more votes David has to have to overcome their vote.
Okay.
So you vote for one person and one person only, and that's David Jackson.
Okay, thanks, Ms. Lynn.
Okay, pass it on, Robin.
You know how we are.
All right now. Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. Let's talk again about some of your plans for the school board. Talk to us about this after-school homework, almost an academy that you're trying to put together. Talk to us about that.
By going to some of the schools and talking with the teachers, one of the biggest issues is the homework that students are supposed to turn in. According to the teachers, it's almost 30% of the grade. And for one reason or another, the students aren't turning that homework in. So what I want to do is to have in most of the high schools, if not all, not just high schools, in most of the schools, if not all of them, a program after school to help and to complete homework assignments. It is so vital that we capture that 30% to elevate their grades. It's so important. There's a variety of different reasons. Like I said, they don't complete that homework assignment. You know, sometimes these kids, once they leave school, it's all playtime. It's the Nintendo games and Xboxes. Or sometimes they just have a hard time at home. There's nobody to assist them with their homework.
Mm-hmm.
There's many different reasons. So we want to establish an after-school homework program right there at the school before they leave.
And something like that doesn't exist right now?
There are some after-school programs, but it's not entirely concentrated on your homework.
Now, what background do you bring to your to this position as a school board member? What do you bring to the table?
I think, one, my years of education in the public school system, I thought it was some of the best years of my life, especially during the high school years where we had, I would say, competent teachers who were concerned with my education. Also, counselors who counseled me throughout the 4 years of high school and prepared me for college. And whatever endeavors that I wanted. At that time, I actually talked about college, but I also talked about the military just to get the education component of it. I believe also with my experience as a business owner of minority and women-owned firms, consultant with larger general contractors, it's given me an opportunity to deal with the business community, both not only in the construction element of it, but also on the development side. That is so important because some of those factors factor into education. I don't think there's anywhere you can go in this country that public education doesn't touch someone, whether you be a parent, a business owner, an employer. It just touches everyone, and because of those experiences in the business industry, I think I bring that. I also completed my higher education. I hold 3 degrees, BS in business administration, criminal justice, and an associate's in accounting.
So when I'm looking at this other plan of yours, once elected, to create an administration, teacher, parent, and student team for presentation to the tax increment financing, the TIF, the tax abatement, and public board meetings. Talk to us. Does your background, is that one of the reasons why you came up with this idea?
That's one of the reasons, and also actually, you're right. It's the exact reason because being in some of the TIF meetings to see how developers attach tax credits in the city, I was amazed to see that most of the developers fault giving the school district their required percentage of the tax credits.
Mm-hmm.
There are some developers who are here that receive tax credits that actually do support the school tax, but there's many that don't. And, you know, when I looked at these developers giving their presentations to the board, there's nobody there to represent the school district. but the chief financial officer who sits on the commission, and he's only one vote.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't have anybody standing out there in the audience.
There you go. To make them accountable.
Yes.
And make them responsible and remember
yes.
to dance with the person who brung you.
Correct. And it amazes me that a developer can stand up there and say, hey, I can't build this $100 million hotel without this TIF.
That takes away money from the school district. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yes. And remember, this is the same developer who is going to be bringing in businesses and hiring folks. And those folks, hopefully, are parents that are going to live in this city that wants to educate their children in this city.
And what a glorious idea of a glorious educational concept to bring students into this process.
And that's the other piece of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they need to understand how the school district works, how their education is coming from folks they're not even aware of.
Mm-hmm.
How
interconnected things are, because I know the young people that I was involved with that sit in at Francis Slay's office, the education that they receive, there is not enough money in America to go out and get that education. Because it was such a education of how the process works, the things that impact the process, the dishonesty that you see, and also a lot of the honesty that you see out there in the community that we live in. It was an intense advanced placement course.
It was, and I supported those students. I was amazed of how intelligent those students were, and that was their idea. That was their demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to be part of the process. They were tired of everybody else saying what they needed to do.
Speaking for them.
Yeah.
And you know what? And the beautiful thing about what the students did is that they changed it because it was their voices. Finally, there weren't adults speaking on behalf of these children. Finally, there weren't administrators speaking on behalf of these young people. Finally, there weren't just parents speaking on behalf of their children, but it's because every single one of those groups, they've already got their education.
Yeah.
They've already gone through high school and graduated from an accredited high school. These were the people that would be directly impacted by this reckless, irresponsible decision to take away accreditation in the middle of the school year.
Yes, and the beauty of this thing was these were our young Americans. These
yeah.
were our young adults
yeah.
who were, some of them, able to vote this year.
That's correct.
They would be able to vote next year.
That's right.
And knew why their vote counted.
And I just love that the things that happened when we were there. We had one person, April, went and got all of these voter registration cards. And out when the hundreds and hundreds of kids that came down to City Hall, we registered them. Okay, those kids got registered because they went and they asked them, who's 18? Handed them their cards, and they got registered. So some of them, unfortunately, they won't be voting in this election, but they will be voting in upcoming elections.
Yes, I mean, it was a very civic-minded deal. Event, and I think because of that sit-in, I truly believe that the state said, hey, we better step back and take a look at this a little closer.
Well, I can assure you that a state member of that board said exactly that. They said that because of this sit-in, because of what those students did to bring awareness to the fact that the taking away the accreditation would impact their scholarships and their college admission, that's why they waited until after the end of the school year to do it. They said that a state school board member said that exactly.
Yes.
You know, so it made a difference.
It made a tremendous difference.
It changed the world. It absolutely changed the world. So, David, today's election day. We have the school board election going on. Talk to people out there. Tell them why they need to call somebody. Remind them that it's election day and why they need to get to the polls and vote.
Yes, and if I could say anything, it is so important. And I am a person of African descent. And I grew up watching the civil rights and knowing how important a vote is. And I think that's why I'm kind of disturbed that two African Americans that are supposed to be civil rights activists, civil rights attorney, that actually took away my vote for this Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
It was devastating to my children because we talk civil rights. We talk about why it's so important that you vote, no matter who's on the ballot. you need to go and cast your vote to be recognized and to have a voice in your life. It is so important today. I don't have to tell you that I'm number two on the ballot. Mm-hmm. I'm asking for your vote. It is so important that we go out in droves today, that we try to get past this 10 and 12%, that we show that we are very, very concerned about educating our children here in the city of St. Louis, and that we also care about our vote.
Absolutely. And today is Election Day. We need to get out there, and we need to engage in this act, because the battle continues on. They haven't forgotten about the money in this district. We have Matt Blunt up there shopping his CEO pick out there. He's shopping it around up in Jefferson City, trying to get support for him. He hadn't forgotten that he wants the money from this district. You all shouldn't forget that they are trying to get the money for my district. I'm looking at the list of endorsements that you have here. It's a very, very interesting mix of endorsements. Talk to us about who are some of the more important endorsements from your perspective.
I think in general they're all important to me, because they're saying that they believe in my candidacy, my concerns with the school district. And, of course, I was very fortunate to have the endorsement of Local 420, which is the teachers and related personnel, Local 2000 of the Service Employees International Union, Reunion, Percy Green's organization, and the SOS Save Our Schools citywide parent organization. I think those are entities that have been involved with the school districts for so very long. But I was also impressed that the community activist organizations, such as the Organization for Black Struggle, Jamala Rogers Group, endorsed myself. And also the First Ward, Committee Man Quincy Troop, Irene Smith, most of the wards on the north side, but particularly the 26th Ward, the 27th Ward, the 22nd Ward. I was fortunate to have some wards on the south side, the 8th, the 12th, the 25th. Those wards, all the endorsements are saying that we believe in what you want to bring to the district, and we want to get behind you and support you.
We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to David Lee Jackson. Get into the polls today and vote for number two on the ballot. Just vote for him and walk on out. Don't worry about voting for anybody, anything else, or on the Board of Education. Just vote for him and be done with it. Vote for him and you're done. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Pamela Smith, and I'm a parent of two children who attend schools in the Riverview Garden School District. Building a future for our children is important. Therefore, on April 3rd, I will be looking for someone who understands the importance of quality teachers in making schools both accountable and effective. I will be casting my vote for Bobby Small and Janetta Thomas.
Paid for by the citizens to elect Small and Thomas, Kevin Thomas, Treasurer.
Hey St. Louis, this is Phil Wilson. Be sure and tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for The Real Deal with Phil.
Excellent.
We'll talk about what I want to talk about, then we can talk about what you want to talk about, then we can talk about what I want to talk about again. So be sure and tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for The Real Deal with Phil. See you then.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched?
Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
This portion of the Wake Up Call is sponsored by the committee to elect David Lee Jackson Valencia Hill Treasurer.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. We have a few more minutes here before we finish our discussion here with David Jackson. And David Jackson is a candidate for the St. Louis Public School Board. And please don't forget about your other elections that are out there as well, out in the Riverview Gardens School Board. There's important races going on out there. Bobby Small is someone that you need to be voting for, and also Janetta Thomas. Let me get to a couple of callers out here. Brother Carl, good morning.
Yes, how you doing, Liz?
I'm here with David Jackson.
And hello to David Jackson.
Good morning.
I wanted to just offer my assistance in taking some of the voters to the polls, and I would like to know where is his headquarters or where can I get some of that information, or maybe you could just put my number out over the line and have them called, and I'll take them to the polls. I've done this in the past, so.
I know, Brother Carl, you've taken lots of folks to the polls. Let's do all of that. Let's put your number out there.
Okay, 575-5789.
575-5789?
Right.
All right. And, David, where can Carl, Brother Carl, get some information?
You can call me. Is this the Brother Carl with the,
transportation.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think I know you very, very well.
Yes, you do.
I appreciate your community involvement, and I actually appreciate the time that you spent with me while I was growing up.
Thank you.
I really do appreciate that. This is a pleasure to receive a phone call for you, and especially, once again, you're reaching out, and I want to thank you for that. You can also contact the school district, you can contact the local 420 teachers union, and also Percy Green's Action Reunion.
Okay, could you give me a number to either one?
I don't have those in front of me.
Okay, I can find that out.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Brother Carl.
All right, thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. And another reason that I think that this election is important, let me get your thoughts on this, David. That is, Veronica O'Brien is most certainly not going to be reelected as president of the Board of Education. That's a given.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
That's a given. So we need to have people that are going to be on the board that would vote for the right candidate to take this board to the next level.
That is correct.
So that's another reason why is that another reason why people should be looking to you and your candidacy?
I think so. I am a independent candidate. I do support some of the resolutions that the current three board members, the minority board members, have voted on, which is Donna Jones, Peter Downs, and Bill Purdy. But I'm also bringing a different perspective to the board.
Mm-hmm. How so? How is your perspective different?
I guess, one, you know, I grew up in the St. Louis community. I grew up in North St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the plights of children having to be homeless through the school year, mm-hmm. moving from place to place, living with grandma, losing fathers to prisons. I understand all that. I also understand what it means to have quality education, what it means to want to go to college.
and what it means to do everything possible to go to college. Mm-hmm. That is so important that we look at the person who is leading the district to assimilate all of this information and to the better serve the student population.
I was thinking about a principal that was that principal at Riverview Gardens, Principal Peoples. One of the things that he did when he got his job at the high school there in Riverview Gardens, he started this organization for young black, because the school is 97% students of African descent, and started an organization directly targeted towards young men that had been given up on. They had other folks had given up on him. He changed the composition of the school and had more teachers that looked like them and understood where they were coming from. And every Friday, these young men wore ties and white shirts to school. He got them to start seeing themselves and a future for themselves. Something like that is having someone that, I don't know, sees themselves when they look in the face.
Exactly.
Is so important.
Exactly. That is ultimately important to this school district, and especially when you're talking about black males.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. And something I've been following the Riverview School District and also the principal, and what he did was he reached out. He showed the young black males that he was concerned about not only their education but about their well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that,
self-esteem, their responsibility to the world that they live in. And lots of times, David, it's just as simple as holding the hand of a child and saying, you know what, I see me in you.
Correct.
And that's what one of the things that you look to hope to or you hope to bring to this board.
That is exactly what I'm looking to bring to the board. You know, it's going to be a tasking,
mm-hmm.
but I think I'm up for that task.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have the support, I'm bringing quite a bit of experience.
And there's one more thing that I wanted to talk to you about that. You mention in your, or you list as part of your plan for the St. Louis Public School Board once you're elected to it. And you talked about working as or helping the board create effective and productive school systems that meet the needs of students. What do you mean by that?
I think every good leader is supposed to do just that, lead. You know, you hear a lot of folks talking about what is needed and what should be done, but nobody comes to the table with a plan. I have a plan, and I'm hoping that I can share that plan with the other board members, that we all come to consensus to implement that plan and move the district further. That is the utmost importance, that you have someone, especially a leader, which all board members are leader,
mm-hmm.
You have someone that has a plan and that can build that communication and relationship among the board members to get the support to move that agenda forward.
Mm-hmm. And so you have 1 minute left here, David. Again, I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak to the folks that have not yet gotten up and gone out to vote. What do you say to them to get them to make that commitment to go out and to punch number 2 and vote for David Jackson?
As I said before, my name is David Jackson. I'm a candidate for the St. Louis Public School Board. I am number 2 on the ballot. I am asking for your vote. I'm asking for you to go out, tell your friends, your neighbors, tell 10, 20 people that you know that it is very important that they go to the polls today to vote, not only for educating their children, but also to exercise a right that so many of our forefathers have fought and have died to give you this. It is so important, especially in this day and time.
And when you tell people to go out and vote, in terms of what is at risk at right now, what would you tell them? Because it's a little bit different. I would say, and let me get your thoughts on this. Is this one of the most crucial a school board elections that have that we've had for a while?
I think this is the most crucial school board race we had in a while, because this is going to change the face of St. Louis. If we don't vote, if we don't try to keep control of our school board, it could have a devastating domino effect throughout the St. Louis community. There is so many things that can happen if the state comes in here and trying to take over the school district. We must do everything in our power. We shouldn't even talk about a takeover.
There you go. And then there's one more piece that there's a little thing like filing an appeal to the decision that the state school board has made with respect to our accreditation. That little thing has to be done. And the current board wouldn't, I mean, the current board majority wouldn't do it.
They would not do it.
So is that going to be one of the first things on your list of priorities of things to do?
That is the utmost first important thing that will be done. We're on a timetable to file that appeal, and that appeal has my vote, and I will actually make a motion.
Very good. David Jackson, I just want to wish you well. I think it is important that you be elected to the school board. I wish you well. Good luck. And hopefully next time I have you on the show, it will be school board member David Jackson. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Liz. And please, please continue educating our community.
Absolutely. And please, please, please get out, go out, and vote today. Today is election day for the city of St. Louis. It's real easy. You know, vote for Lewis Reed. We got that. But the other piece of it is to vote for David Lee Jackson. He's number two on the ballot. They're asking for you to vote for two people, but just vote for one. We need to make sure that David Jackson gets in there. Any other vote weakens his possibility of being elected. So just vote for David Lee Jackson, and then you're done. And also, when you get on over to the Riverview Garden School District, please don't forget that we have two wonderful candidates that are running for election there. Bobby Smalls, you need to get over there, and you need to vote for Bobby Smalls. My name is Liz Brown. I'll talk to you after the election tomorrow. Stay strong.
This portion of the wake-up call has been sponsored by the committee to elect David Lee Jackson, Valencia Hill Treasurer.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More